If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hello, this is Rick Dees in the morning.
I am an asshole.
Come on, who's a bigger jackass than me? I'm a huge jackass.
Lisa, what was your favorite part of the Tim Matheson interview? Was it when Kevin asked about Tim's dead dad?
You know, my father passed away a few years ago.
Oh, did he? It's a good thing he didn't have to see that then.
I knew it.
I just wanted, I know.
As soon as I said, have you talked to your, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
geez. Well, it's a good thing he's dead then, so he doesn't have to see this.
Note to self, never ask Star about parents.
Kevin and Bean, honestly, they're a couple of schmucks.
I'm here to say, to hell with the white America.
And dead at 73, Belgian cartoonist André Franquin, creator of the hilariously disaster-prone character Gaston Lagaffe.
You appear intelligent, but when you open your mouth, the effect is spoiled.
Yeah, screw you.
I'm taking you down right now. You and me. Let's go, bitch.
And now.
That's the way it is. Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Our feature presentation.
You don't want to have an ass face.
I hate your ass face.
I'm pretty sure that's
this
not.
This is my life. This isn't something else.
Greatest movies ever. Waiting for Guffman. Christopher Guest.
Yep.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
5:31. It is St. Patrick's Day. Kiss me, I'm Irish. You got the pin working and everything.
Look at that. He brought in the Jameson.
All
Irish whiskey.
Nice.
Enjoying my first Irish coffee of the day.
Look at you.
Can't get Lisa to put just a touch in hers.
What?
She just won't go for it.
Here, bring it over.
Yeah. Here you go.
Just a touch either. Yet.
Just a little taste. Just to get a little Irish in you.
It's 5:31.
Would you like a little Irish in you?
How late does it have to be before you get ready? Come on, Lisa.
There you go.
Now you're going to make your morning so much better.
Right.
Are you going to go full force today, Ralph? Are you going to get smashed?
There's that possibility.
You haven't really gotten smashed since I've been a member of the show.
Oh, please.
Well, we've been slacking on the St. Patrick's Day festivities, really. Yeah. We haven't done many. We used to do a big bar scene every year. And then Beam would get all cranky pants and pout and moan about it, so we stopped doing it.
Plus, but Kevin stole a car.
Kevin did steal a car
so
one time.
So there was that.
Homer's looking for some Jameson.
For the whiskey. Here you go.
He just walked in with his coffee up, going, yeah. I need a thing.
Homer's wearing a green towel on his head today, which I think is nice, and not our St. Patrick's
nice touch.
Day. So we've been kind of slacking off on the festivities, so I thought this year I would just sort of bring my own. So I brought some Guinness in, and I brought a bottle of Jameson.
We got a couple of deliveries yesterday, too, of different alcohols.
The lovely people at the Heineken Corporation have stopped by and brought us 19 cases of Heineken.
That's
which
correct.
Is nice.
Wow.
Famous Irish beer Heineken.
Well, apparently Heineken is one of the in-movie sponsors of I Love You, Man. They are one of the beers that is highly profiled in that feature film, and we're going to have Paul Rudd and Jason Segel in later today.
That's correct. 8 o'clock hour, we're going to have them in.
I wish they were coming in earlier.
Yeah, because you might not make it that long?
Well, here's the thing. Well, the one time I do remember when I was drinking, when we had a regular show on St. Patrick's Day, we were talking to Jon Favreau about something. And I think he had some project going on, and we talked to him on the phone, and I asked him in a drunken stupor, why did he got so fat?
Mm. Yeah.
I remember asking him that.
Yeah, that happened.
And that was just that was the alcohol talking. So I'm hoping that maybe I won't make an ass of myself when the guys come.
I'm hoping you do, first of all.
Well, that's what everyone else is hoping for.
I have a piece of tape here named Ralph Drunk.
Oh.
Would you mind if I gave a few highlights of that?
I'd love to know what it is.
F*** him. him up. Ha, ha, ha. That's f***ing funny.
People want
f*** him.
To
I'm going to f*** him up.
I'll come on and kick your Arab ass.
Will you stop?
No doubt.
Arab,
will you stop yelling?
Oh, like you're not. Who are you f***ing kidding? Omar Khan?
Arab.
Yeah, that's the whitest name I've ever heard, mother
Do you remember any of this,
that.
Kevin?
Do
you remember f***ing any of this, Kevin? Do you even show up for the show? Do you know what it's like to get in your car and drive to the station? Does any of this sound familiar to you at all?
I remember all of it, but I'm just saying in
just
the interview.
Just take tomorrow off and the rest of the weekend.
In the interview, you say to him, you
and
say, you're fat.
Your ass
no
out,
follow
drink
up.
Some water and just your ass out.
You know what I really miss is like writing all the material that I do myself and then voicing it with myself and working like I'm the boy of the f***ing plastic bubble. Like the guy who has no interaction with anyone else ever.
If I wanted to be by myself, I would just paint or sculpt. I need human contact. Someone help me.
Don't we give you human contact every day?
Oh, you live on an island. How much contact are you giving?
Ralph, I'm here.
Oh, you're barely here.
When I do come down there to spend time with you, the
you
first
really
thing
do.
You say
Once
to me is get back on the fucking ferry.
When you show up, I got a fucking Woody.
You're like the
and you say
dad
get back on the ferry is what town. You say. I've offered to be Ralph's friend, but he won't have me.
Can wow. you imagine why?
Yeah, that was...
I think that was at the end of one of our St. Patrick's Day broadcasts, I believe.
That was a very small percentage of the day, though. When Ralph goes off, he goes off.
Yeah.
So I hope you're that way
I
when...
I tend to rant.
When Paul Rudd and Jason Segel come in. Yeah. I think that would be good. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
And if you get on the air today, you get a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A. Right now, stop by a Subway restaurant. Pick up an $18 off general admission coupon to Universal Studios Hollywood.
Okay.
Let's begin with George in Commerce. Good morning, George.
Good morning, my friend.
What it do?
I got my roommates on voice. That's my little leprechaun right there. Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's
Day. Wait, what was that? Whoa. What was that?
Your roommate's a leprechaun?
Ah, he's got a little sound effect.
I love it.
All right.
Hey, did you guys hear about that rare comic book they sold over the weekend, Superman?
Did. It was the drummer from System of a Down, right?
Yes.
Action
yes.
Comics number one, the first appearance of Superman.
$317,000.
Yeah, that's a lot for a comic. But good for him. Good for him. I mean, you know.
There's only about 100 of those in the world, by the way, that comic book.
And Ralph, did you say he got it? Originally?
The original owner who sold it for over $317,000 bought it in 1950 at a pawn shop or a garage sale for 50 cents.
Sweet!
50 cents.
Yes.
Wow. That's more.
That would be more, yes.
$317,000.
Quite the return on your investment.
Wow. All right, George, thank you for the sound effects.
Hey, no problem. Happy St. Patrick's Day once again.
To you as well.
And to you, my friend.
Let's go to Matthew in Los Alamitos. Good morning, Matthew.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. What to do, nephew? What to do, baby boo?
What to do?
Are you mocking me?
Yes.
Are you British, Matthew?
I am.
I'm not talking to the British on St. Patrick's Day. As a good Irishman, I cannot do that.
Oh, really? There's that.
Give us our island back!
Come on, Ralph. I woke up this early. I'm not going to work. I'm just starting drinking with you.
Nice. Oh. Okay, right. That's good.
All right, we have something in common.
That's good, but still, can't you give him the island back?
Seriously.
No, we can't.
All right. What do you got for us?
Basically, what it is, I've come home from England, and I need your help.
Okay.
I'm not allowed back in the country. My family will ban me from the country if I don't go back with Snuggies.
Oh, you need a Snuggie.
Snuggies.
Yeah.
Where can I get them from?
No Snuggies in the UK?
They're starting to invade England now, and we're trying to keep them back, but everyone wants them over there now, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm having to go back with an empty suitcase full of Snuggies.
You don't think it's better just to fight that pressure?
I am. I was tempted just to go back with ponchos and just piss them all off.
There you go.
Yeah.
You'd get an honorary membership into the Poncho Patrol.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Snuggies, I think you just get them from...
I think you can go to, like, Walgreens or... Target, I think.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
I think there's several retail outlets that have them, Matthew. Mm-hmm. You can pick them up.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
Bed Bath and Beyond. Who would
have
thought?
To snuggle them.
Bed Bath and Beyond is one of the headquarters.
Nice.
Where for all of the as seen on TV products.
Yep. Oh, it is.
They have a big section of that right there at Bed Bath and Beyond. You can get all kinds of good stuff.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right, Matthew.
Fabuloso.
Chip chip cheerio. Whatever it is you say.
Cheerio.
Okay.
Give us our island back.
Let's go to Carlos in Los Angeles.
Hello. What it do, everybody?
What it do?
What it do,
Carlos?
Are you guys Irish by any chance?
I am Irish. This is Ralph speaking.
Ralph
I am
is.
100% Irish.
And my wife is 100% Irish as well. So it's kind of like I'm married to Ralph.
It is, kind of.
Sort of.
What is the whole point of St. Patrick's Day? What is it celebrating, or what is it?
It's celebrating the first guy, St. Patrick, who saw a leprechaun in a tree. I have some audio for you.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in a tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yay?
That's St. Patrick.
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead.
That's true.
He got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this. Yeah, still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This water's all smells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
That's right.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
Give that guy the gold. That's correct. So that's the story behind St. Patrick's Day. A lot of people don't realize that, but that's where it came from.
There you go.
So that's just a theory, not a fact.
Correct.
Or Saint, or Patrick was sent by the Pope in the 5th century to bring Christianity to Ireland.
That's just stupid.
Which is what he did. He
that's
changed them all from heathens into Christians. And so they celebrate his death, which actually the church can't decide if it was March 8th or 9th. So they've combined the dates and made it March 17th.
Really?
That's why the church celebrates it on March 17th.
That's how you do it?
That's how you do.
Huh.
So there you go. There's your primer on the St. Patrick's.
One or the other. I'm not sure.
Or Kevin's.
I'm not sure.
Black
which.
Guy's looking for crack.
Which it is. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. Paul Rudd and Jason Segel will be in the studio, like we said a second ago, for I Love You, Man.
That's
Don't
awesome.
Let me embarrass myself in front of them, please.
I am asking you to. I want you to.
It's not good for anyone.
Psycho Mike is running to be the prom king of West Hollywood.
Ooh.
Oh. We must get details on that.
Ooh. Psycho Mike.
We also have Ralph Wears Panties.
Ooh, Ralph!
Not sure what that's all about. And Bob Dylan's house smells like poo. That's not good. That story on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And I Married the Eiffel Tower Part 2.
Oh, I can't wait.
I Married the Eiffel Tower.
How great was the second half?
Those people are my favorite people in the world.
Is the girl smearing grease all over her from her favorite amusement park ride?
You smell good.
Give me your fluids. Give me your fluids.
It's the best thing I've ever seen. And we got it up at krock.com. We'll give you some highlights as well. And KROQ's World Tour Destination number 6 is Nine Inch Nails and Jane's Addiction in Tel Aviv. And we will continue to qualify you for that coming up. And Ralph Showbiz Beat is next. Ralph's here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Would you like a Irish coffee there,
please,
Kevin?
I would.
It might help.
It'd be funny if Kevin gets loaded and starts talking really succinctly and coherently.
All of a sudden, I'm sharp. Yeah.
Exactly. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. You know, a few St. Patrick's Day facts.
Please.
That California is the state with the highest Irish-American population. Did you know that?
I thought it would be New York.
Wrong,
for sure.
Lisa. We're number one.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
How about that?
We beat New York State by over 200,000 Irish-Americans.
No kidding.
Yeah.
New York State can suck it.
That's right. It's us at number one, then New York, then Pennsylvania, then Florida.
Florida?
Then Illinois. And I find it interesting, Massachusetts not in the top five.
That's,
you think Boston and all those drunken mix there and that
Massachusetts can suck it.
That's right.
Ralph, do you mind if I change the showbiz music just for today?
No, feel free.
There you go.
Sweet.
Much better.
Sweet music. Did you know Patrick was born on the east coast of Ireland? In England. He's actually English, Patrick.
Really?
Yes. He was captured by slaves as a boy, by pirates, rather, as a boy, made a slave.
Okay.
And taken to the island of Ireland, where he grew up as a slave. Then when he escaped, he went back to England, and then he became a priest. And because of his knowledge of the Irish people, the Pope sent him back there on a mission to bring Christianity to the Irish.
Wow.
And he had quite a life.
And that's the story.
Who knew he was a pirate slave?
Yeah, who knew that?
Good
fan.
Pirate slaves?
Pirate slaves, yeah. Congratulations to Jenna Jameson and Tito Ortiz, latest celebrities to hop on the Hollywood twins train. Apparently, Jenna delivered two bouncing baby boys Monday morning, and everyone is in good health.
Well, that's good news.
Babies just fell out.
This was the easiest delivery ever.
Oh.
Apparently, it's just clear sailing.
Come on.
Just like dropping an olive through a subway tunnel. I'm just saying, Mr. Ortiz, just having a little fun there with your wife.
The first time ever a sitting president will be on a TV talk show. Barack Obama is going to be on Tonight Show with Jay Leno this Thursday.
Really?
Yeah, you're right, because they never do that after they become president, just while they're running.
They use it for all the press they can get while they're campaigning, and then they disappear. But Barack's coming to Jay Leno on Thursday to talk about the economy, which would be a fascinating conversation, I'm sure. Him doing that, and Brock trying to say actual facts. But apparently he's going to be here in California because he's got some town hall meetings where he's going to be meeting with Americans.
They don't do that either usually after they become president.
That's true. So, interestingly enough, he'll be the first sitting president ever to be on TV talk.
We're having town hall meetings ourselves, by the way, today, with a lot of drinking.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Whatever you want to call him.
Book him if he's going to be in L.A.
Get him to come in?
Book him.
Sure. All right.
Sure. I'm sure he will come cruising by, Psycho Mike. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah. Lindsay Lohan got lucky in court yesterday. I'm sorry. Lindsay Lohan!
The judge dismissed the arrest warrant that was issued for her last Friday. Her new lawyer pleaded that everything was a result of miscommunication because Lilo was accused of not attending 3 alcohol classes, but it turns out she had left one program and went to another one, and so she's fine.
That seems like an honest mistake enough, I would think.
Yeah.
3 out of 21, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Man.
And she's still drinking, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But in terms of the classes, she's all hooked up. Did you hear about John and Kate breaking up?
No.
It's very exciting.
John and Kate who?
+8, that show?
No.
Kevin knows and you don't.
No, I did, but I couldn't believe that they'd actually break up.
He moved out.
Oh, my God.
I don't blame him for one second.
She is a bitch.
She is a horrible woman.
I don't know if you've ever seen that show, John and Kate +8, but it's the reality show about the original octuplet mom and dad.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's twins, and then they had 6 more.
Oh, right. It wasn't octuplets at the same time, right? Just had 8.
You know what time of the day they were born?
Very clearly by our listeners about that.
Anyway, he left, but apparently In Touch magazine says he has just moved back. He has moved in with his mom. Mm.
Okay.
Leaving his wife, Kate, at home with the 8 kids.
Dear God. 8 kids alone.
Yeah. Apparently a lot of troubles in that relationship.
She should have thought about that before she was gone.
She is horrible to him. You're stupid. I'm also going to say that you have to be, to manage what they've been managing, you have to be a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
not
but
with
you don't
him.
Have to.
Not
He's
with
not
him,
a
no.
kid. No, I agree.
She's brutal to him.
My kids watch that show, and I can't stand it because of that.
Yeah.
Because the way she talks to him, it's just ugly.
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson, it's kicking it already.
Have another drink, Ralph.
Rosario Dawson says that her mother had an interesting way of dealing with her when she was bad. This is how she used to discipline her. The In Touch magazine says, Rosario says, her mom would lick her when she misbehaved.
Come on.
To humiliate her, she would lick her face or her armpit.
That would do
Glendale!
Why would a mom lick your armpit? Is she a lioness?
And Rosario said it worked. It would make her so humiliated and uncomfortable that she would not do whatever bad thing she was being punished for.
Yeah, that's way worse than being spanked.
We should talk to people about the bizarre ways their parents tried to keep them in line.
You're right. That's a great idea.
I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And speaking of women I'd like to lick, I mentioned yesterday that there was a rumor that Frida Pinto was in talks to play the next Bond girl, the next James Bond flick with Daniel Craig.
Please, 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 please.
One source tells People magazine she's been personally approached by producer Barbara Broccoli, daughter of Cubby Broccoli, the original producer of that series, to do a screen test. And she's going to do it. She's going to go in and meet with them.
That's what I'm talking about.
Apparently, she was actually brought up at one time for casting in Quantum of Solace. But she was too young for the role, at just 19 years old at the age she was at that time, but now that she's in her early 20s, they think she might be appropriate for the next Bond movie.
I could totally see her being a Bond
girl. I think she'd
be
excellent.
Amen.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? See what Irishmen were born on St. Patrick's Day. Kurt Russell! Kurt Russell! He's 58 years old today. Gary Sinise turns 54. Rob Lowe is 45. Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins turns 42. Also from the Pumpkins, Melissa Auf der Maur
is 37. And actress Brittany Daniel celebrates her 33rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Hey!
Nope.
Oh. It's got to have some kind of a beat, I think.
Hey!
To pull off hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 4 minutes after 6 o'clock. A K-Rock listener turned Ralph on to the world's greatest movie, and Ralph sent me the links.
Yes, thank you, listener Claudia, for sending us.
Oh, Claudia, you're the best.
Sending us this documentary.
Apparently the BBC does good work, and they did a documentary called I Married the Eiffel Tower. And this is people who fall in love with inanimate objects.
The objectum sexuals.
Objectum sexuals is what they call them, and I'm not sure where they got that from. I guess object?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the phrase was actually coined by the first woman on record who had this sexuality, which was
Mrs. Wall.
Mrs. Wall, exactly. The woman who married the Berlin Wall.
She married the Berlin Wall and changed her name to Mrs. Wall. No kidding. Yeah. So these people are a little nutty. The first part of the movie kind of sets it up. It shows this crazy woman standing in front of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and she has this conversation with you.
I am a woman, and this is a bridge. And despite our vast differences, we are very much in love.
Okay, so that sets the tone at the beginning of the documentary.
Yep.
And she has a piece of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. She sure does.
That she uses for her pleasure, apparently. Uh-huh. It looks like an X made out of pipe or metal or something like that.
Oh,
like,
man.
A little girder.
I feel very, very blessed to have a piece of my sweet Golden Gate Bridge. And I just hope that when I make love with this piece of him, that he can sense and feel how much I really, really love him.
I'm sure that's the way it works. I'm sure if you have a piece of metal and you make love to it, that the bridge goes, yes, I feel
bridge
that.
Goes, oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Stroke my rivets.
Now, we did put this movie up online at krock.com. Go to the Kevin and Bean page and then click on videos.
Okay.
You can see part one and part two. These, you won't believe it. You'll sit there and you'll watch it and you'll go, nope, there's
not
no
possible.
Way this is possible.
Initially, you think it's some gag. It's
right.
A parody documentary that somebody put together. Until you really get to know these women.
Go to the video page, I Married the Eiffel Tower, part one and two. And we start part two now with Amy, who is a, did we say 400 pounds yesterday?
Oh, she's a good-looking girl.
She's not overly attractive.
Okay.
Well, she does shave her head and wear tie-dye t-shirts exclusively.
Yes. Yeah, and I think she's cross-eyed. There's a lot of problems there.
Yeah.
It's not good. But she's in love with a circus ride.
Oh.
She's in love with one of those old-time circus rides. I don't know what they call it, but it's that it's like that giant boat thing that you sit in, and then it goes around in a full 360-degree circle.
Yeah, it's like a cantilever with like two baskets on either end, and it kind of spins around.
Yeah.
The ride's called the 1001 Nacht.
That's her lover. So in part two, they travel to this circus in mm-hmm. Germany, and, she makes love to this machine.
Yeah.
How does she do that?
Keeping in mind, there's only one human being here, but then there's also the circus ride.
When I make love to him at home.
Oh, I forgot she's rubbing grease all over herself.
Oh, no.
She's got grease on her hands.
Yeah,
she
takes the grease off the machinery and smears it all over her face and her body.
Her hands. She looks like she's been working on a car now for 24 hours. That's what she looks like.
When I make love to him at home. I just keep saying over and over again, just as I'm starting to go over the edge, I just tell him, I want your fluids. I want your fluids. I want your fluids.
Okay, now
fluids, she means axle grease and motor oil.
Yes.
Wait, so she's in love with something that's not close to where she lives?
Correct.
No, it's German amusement park
ride.
In
Germany.
Yes. Yes, I don't
know
why
that traveler. Kind of inconvenient.
She's got photos of it up all over her room, though. Like,
she couldn't find a bridge in her hometown.
Like posters of the Jonas Boys.
It's not a bridge; it's a circus ride.
I'm sorry,
and there
I
aren't
know.
Any circuses closer than Germany.
You can't help who you love.
That's right, Lisa. The heart has no logic.
So she has grease all over her hands and all over her face, and she's holding on to the circus ride, and she says,
"You smell good." God, you smell so good.
You guys.
I'm not kidding you. She's lying underneath this machinery, kissing
the
casings of the engine of this thing.
It's way true. There is one super tragic part where they describe in the second part all of the emotional trauma that's happened to the main woman in this story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do kind of have to fast forward through that because it gets really ugly.
Takes the humor right out of it.
Yes.
Okay.
But have your finger on the fast forward, and then you can completely enjoy it without feeling badly about it. So the original woman, this is not the woman now with Greece that's making love to the circus thing. The original woman who was in love with the Golden Gate Bridge. She sees a fence. And
this woman is also married to the Eiffel Tower. Let's not forget.
So. That's correct. All right. Yeah. This is a fence, and she loves fences. Yeah. She's very excited by fences. And she is in a dress, Ralph, when she sits on the fence,
yes.
I think.
You mean sits on the fence?
You can't tell, but yeah. I mean,
she's sitting on the fence.
You can tell that, yeah. And so here she tells you that she's just a sucker for fences.
Fences are such dangerous objects for me because they are so perfect. I mean, I have to say there is a lot of physical stuff going on right now. I mean, and I think that happens between human relationships as well, but I'm definitely physically attracted to this fence.
Yep, that sentence
She's straddling the fence, literally.
That sentence has never been said before, has it?
She is straddling the fence, while she's talking about her attraction for it.
Her love life is much easier than mine.
Well, the fence will never disappoint.
She can pretty much just go outside and find something, and that something's never going to argue with her.
That is true.
But Psycho Mike always did, too, by the way.
Yeah.
That's true.
But look how happy it's made him.
No fences are safe.
No fences are safe. Mm-mm. I'm physically attracted to this fence. And then at one point she was laying down on it. It's really just bizarre. Man. I've never seen anything like this. So then the other woman, the 400-pound bald linebacker,
grease-covered
woman,
Amy. Yes.
She finds a banister in a church that she falls in love with.
Okay, now, I said this. Yeah.
What?
I kind of get that.
A banister in a church?
Well, little girls do discover banisters.
Well, she's in love with the pipe organ in the church that she calls
really?
Paul.
That's correct, yes.
And the rail that goes around the altar of the church.
Oh, okay.
My God.
Yeah.
So she's laying on it, and then the interviewer asks her, you know, how did it go?
What happened?
I'll put it this way. No different than what happens between a man and a woman. All the foreplay and the ultimate act that we all go through.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the after effects, what some people refer to as post-coital bliss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad that the interviewer didn't have the heart to say, no, it's really nothing like humans go through. But
no, really no foreplay.
Not really.
Here's the thing is the preacher at the church was not too pleased when he found out she was having a sexual relationship with the railing around his altar.
She's abusing his altar.
Yeah.
She is, yeah.
They
asked her not to come back to the church. She was heartbroken.
But before she got asked out, this is what she had to say about her wonderful lover in the church.
He's an amazing lover.
Yes, he is. Here's where they describe
her
love affair with the organ, and she's named it.
Once upon a time, she had a happy love affair with a church organ called Paul.
When
the previous pastor found out about the affair, he asked her to leave. And that broke her heart.
Because she was in love with Paul the organ.
Well, at least it's got a name like
She's getting closer.
Yeah,
she's getting closer
something
to something actually adults with.
Don't call it an it. That makes them very unhappy.
Really? It's a male or female?
Yes, it's a male or female. And they don't know what causes it or what makes it that way. They just feel it. And the organ talks to her. So this woman, the original one, not the linebacker now, she goes back to Paris, and she has a very special reason for doing this.
To celebrate, Nisha goes to Paris for the first anniversary of her wedding to the Eiffel Tower.
Okay, so the woman married the Eiffel Tower, and now she's going back for the first anniversary.
How do these crazy people afford the travel? Because they can't be holding down jobs.
That's a great question. I don't know.
This woman, the lead woman who married the Eiffel Tower, she is a professional archer. How much cash can there be in archery? But she's going to Sweden to meet other objectum sexuals, and she's going to Paris and Germany. She's traveling all over Europe to hump things.
I would be very curious.
Yeah, no kidding. Where she gets that money?
How does she do that?
So, why is she going back to the Eiffel Tower? Besides the fact that she's married to it,
this time she's determined to consummate their marriage at last.
Yeah. Oh, she's looking for a little action.
It's been a year. They've been married. They haven't done the deed.
The Eiffel Tower needs to put out her. Shut up. That's
right.
What needs
what
to happen right now.
What happened on their wedding night?
Nothing.
Lisa, it can be very difficult.
It's a challenge to be truly intimate with a public structure, but where there's a will, there's a way.
You remember Big Fat Amy in part one got shooed away by the security team at the Empire State Building because she was making out with it and they asked her to move along. So it's hard to be in love with a public object.
Now, I would like you to listen to the background of this clip because this is a public place, the Eiffel Tower, and there are a lot of kids walking around. And she finds a place, I don't even know, near the bottom, I think, where she's sitting on one of the bars.
She's straddling one of the girders at the base of the Eiffel Tower.
The heat of my body is flowing into her cold steel. The cold of her steel is flowing into my body. And we are reaching equilibrium where we both are the same temperature.
I'm doubting that she is, that the Eiffel Tower is now
getting heated up.
Yes. The entire Eiffel Tower.
It's been a year. She is hot. She is pumping that heat into the Eiffel Tower.
It's not unpleasant that she's so cold.
It's actually quite pleasant that she's cold because I can feel the exchange of temperature between us, which is an exchange of energy. And that energy is it's very spiritual.
Mm. Here's the thing about these weirdos. They're all very smart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very
well.
Very articulate, very well-spoken, but crazy.
Crazy beyond
She's got
words.
A long skirt on that she has sort of draped over the girder. Mm-hmm. And they show you she's got regular like thigh-high stockings on. She's not wearing any underwear. So she is straddling this girder of the Eiffel Tower, basically humping it as tourists walk by.
We're talking about a documentary called I Married the Eiffel Tower. You have to go to Kevin and Bean at krock.com and go to videos. You can watch the whole thing, and you won't believe it. Like Ralph says, when you start watching it, you go, this has to be a joke.
You know, if it were too cold, she could get stuck.
That's too cold. Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
You have to peel her off of it.
Bring her.
So the interviewer asks her if the Eiffel Tower feels the same way that she does.
And do you feel that she loves you back?
Oh, gosh, yes. She definitely loves me back. I can feel her right now. And I don't care if people don't believe that I can communicate with her. It doesn't matter to me. And really, the only parties involved are her and myself in this relationship.
Nope. Really, the only parties involved are yourself.
Yeah.
Just you.
You really don't know, man. You don't know what they share.
So people call me cuckoo. I don't care.
Cuckoo.
What we have is real. And if it's only real to me, and it's only real to her.
Not real to her. Sorry.
It's fine.
All right.
Dude, you don't know the love affair they have.
So I married the Eiffel Tower. It's the best movie ever.
And I'm the happiest girl in the world.
So I started looking around the same site that Ralph sent me to, and the BBC does good work.
Fascinating documentary.
In the future, I'm going to bring in highlights of My Fake Baby.
What?
My Fake Baby?
I am also going to bring in highlights of Too Ugly for Love.
Oh, no.
That just sounds sad.
And
hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm Don't Tell Kevin and Bean.
And I love my car.
So what could make a man want to have sex with a car? Oh,
so no. That is coming up in the future. That's some good work right
awesome.
There.
Awesome.
Are these people only? No, they were here, weren't they? The two people were here.
Americans, yeah.
Wow. What would cause a man to have sex with his car?
A month?
I said that to my Jameson's bottle just this morning. You want an eyedropper for that? Would you like a thimble that you can pour the whiskey into before you put it in your coffee?
Our producer Alex just came in and
she takes my bottle of Jameson's, the best Irish whiskey in the whole damn world, and she takes the cap off and pours the whiskey into the cap.
Just a capful.
Of the bottle
because
and then pours that into her coffee.
Whiskey is not normally my drink.
Right.
So I'm trying it in the coffee. I don't want to overload it. I don't want to waste
it. Well, you weren't in any danger of that.
You've insulted the bottle by drinking it in that
it's
way.
It's also very early in the morning, which is kind of like drinking at high altitude.
No, you know, early
in
the morning, whatever.
I have learned that from our little events where I had to stay
much
until
better.
Noon.
Your job, Lisa, takes place from 4:30 to 11:30. That's the meat of your day.
Yes.
So it's not early for you.
But I haven't had any food.
This is the middle of your day.
This is like noon for you.
Exactly.
But I haven't eaten yet.
It's a liquid breakfast.
And by the way,
and I know what happens
have a Guinness.
After that.
That is food. Guinness is food. They'll tell you that.
All right, time for the Afro line 323-520-AFRO. Speaking of St. Patrick's Day.
Time for the modern day party, people. Sure, and it's St. Patrick's Day. And it's me, that annoying asshole who calls up every year and talks this annoying Irish accent. Now, Ralph, me boyo, come on, sing along with me. As I kiss the dear fingers that tied on me. Don't you just
want to
shoot me?
Well, often we hear from the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
That's true. It is odd to hear from him.
He's after me Lucky Charms.
People call in with this information or email us with this information as if it's news, as if we haven't heard it 1,000 times before.
Kevin, Dean, you guys are ugly.
Yeah.
There's no surprise why we're on radio, people. We've recognized our strengths and our weaknesses and acted accordingly.
Right. My strength, talking.
Exactly. That's right. Kevin knew he had to get into radio.
I disagree.
Such a chatterbox.
I saw a picture of Kevin sunbathing on the beach with Jenny McCarthy and Ed McMahon yesterday.
We have to get that picture.
I thought it was
up.
A young Paul Newman.
He is. He is ripped and just rippling in the sun there with his long flowing locks.
Very little more gay than that photo. Got to be honest.
These cut-off shorts?
Sweet. There's a snuggy pub crawl that's going to happen sometime soon. And Psycho Mike and Omar have put together the Poncho Patrol to take them down.
Better not ruin it.
And they're getting support from all over the place.
Hey, Psycho Mike, Omar, this is a therapist from the city of Norwalk. We got you guys back on that war against the snuggies.
Yeah, it's
all not a war against the Snuggies.
It would be
all right, well, I'm going to have to get my people
personal.
Together. Then I'm going to have to rally my troops.
I sure would hate to run in people who had Snuggies out on
you
the
would.
Street.
You know why? Poncho, oh, I can't get my weapons out or anything because I got all this cloth over me. Sleeves in the Snuggies. Lights out.
You're doing it as if somebody with a Snuggie would carry a gun.
We're going to be packing.
You're not. The Florida Panthers have a very colorful sports announcer in hockey. Every single time they score, he says something, and then he gives you whatever slogan he comes. He usually gets them from the movies.
McClain to the left side of Frolik. Drop the face-off circle. Fires a try, shoots, and scores! Get off my lawn!
Like that.
He shoots, he scores! How great is male ass?
How great is male ass? That's a pretty good point.
Here's a testimonial.
Hi, this is someone who's not famous at all, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Not all songs need to be sung. Not all of them.
Bing, 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 Kevin. Bing, 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 Kevin. 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 Bing, 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 Kevin.
Dude, that's the biggest honor you can get, having your name sung to the Batman theme.
Really?
Yes.
That's as high as it gets?
That's as high as it gets.
Here's a dude that loves wine that is not expensive. He loves himself the cheap wine.
Woo! Woo! Betmo 5 cents sale. Betmo 5 cents sale. Woo! Yeah! 5 cent Betmo sale for wine.
It is one of the greatest times of the year. I love the BevMo 5 cents sale.
What do you think that guy's doing? You think he's getting the wine, going outside drinking it, and then going back inside for another 5 cent bottle? This dude misunderstood. We do have the Afro line for you to call and leave messages on any topic. If something strikes you as something that might be interesting to us or our audience, you call and leave a message.
Okay. Listening to K-Rock, and it says to call the Afro line. So I'm calling. All right. Wow. Cool.
Yeah, you don't get anything in return.
Right.
That's for you to donate.
He's expecting something.
Yeah.
We want you for free to call up and entertain us.
Did he think he was going to get an afro if he called?
Maybe. Maybe he was looking in the mirror. Yeah. Here's a pretty accurate song.
Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin and Bean Show. Not always funny things are going to happen.
Hey, how come we don't have any St. Patrick's Day spooks, by the way? That's Omar laying down on the job. We don't have St. Patrick's Day spooks.
Huh.
Every other freaking holiday gets a song from Omar, but not St. Patrick's Day.
He just said in my headphones that he's drunk.
Oh, so it's not going to happen?
He's pretty much done for the day.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike, I believe this one's for you.
Hey, Mike, it's me, Tommy Lee. Word on the street is you're looking for a happy ending. Yeah, let's rip and shred each other's into oblivion. Yeah, ripping and shredding all night long. Tommy Lee's got a giant
Yeah.
May want to work on the impression, but the material was pretty strong.
Ralph did a showbiz story yesterday about Bob Dylan, and apparently his neighbors are complaining. They called the police, and then they wrote a letter to a newspaper that he has a porta potty on the edge of his property in Malibu. Mm. And he's not doing construction or anything like that. It's just kind of a permanent porta potty.
And Kathy's taking a walk and gets the fear before he gets to the house.
I don't know. I guess that's what it's for. But the porta potty to me is the worst part of any concert.
Yes.
I mean, you
they're disgusting.
You pretty much hold your breath and just go in and get out as soon as you can.
And this has been there a while.
Yes, it's a permanent thing on his property, right in between his house and the next guy's house.
God, can you imagine the stench?
Apparently, that's the problem: is the stench.
Oh,
yeah. So that seems all bad. So we thought we would get our good friend Bob Dylan on the program. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Kennedy.
How's it going?
Hey, it's Integrity.
Right?
Hey, it's Kennedy.
I have no idea.
Something
what he's
gay. Who's gay? Someone's gay.
No, it's gay. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Thank you.
See you too, Bob.
Yeah, Ingram.
What?
Ingram.
Aaron Gobrah.
Hey,
yeah, okay. I speak Bob.
Hey. All right. Since when?
I speak Bob. Since 1 second ago. So, Bob, are you still doing your theme time radio?
Happy time, theme time, lemonade, showtime hour.
And that's where you pick a topic and you play songs about and tell stories about?
Yeah, satellite radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody listens.
That's correct, yes.
But I take songs and play them and tell the story behind them and do it together and theme those lenses of understanding.
I didn't get any of that.
Word.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? What's your topic today, Bob?
Stench. Yeah.
Oh, you got that right away.
Can't really mistake that.
Yeah.
Stench. So
there's a news story about me today.
There is, and you have a porta potty.
Yeah.
And apparently, it smells really bad.
Yeah.
Is it a permanent thing, Bob?
Uh-huh.
Well, why?
Sometimes you gotta go.
Right, but can't
you
get
you
into
have
the house?
House.
Yeah. Oh, can't it's a long way today.
Long way.
I don't feel so good.
Okay.
Yeah.
That we understood, unfortunately.
Yeah. It smells like love.
Oh, what? No. God, no.
Yeah.
No.
Because sometimes love stinks. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Love stinks.
Hey, Bob.
Me?
I don't think it's the love your neighbors are complaining about.
Yeah, it's the love from my inside.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, love. Cold in love.
Call it love?
Cold in love.
Oh, cold in love. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's Psycho Mike's. Love. That's Psycho Mike's realm.
A lot of people in the neighbors, they always ask me this.
Leonard Skinner, everybody. That's not a good song.
Good smell.
Nope.
Yeah. The smell of Bob Dylan.
What?
The smell of Bob Dylan.
The smell of Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, it smells like Teen Spirit.
I hope not.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob.
Yeah?
I can't understand what you're saying, but you're not.
I can't understand what Kurt Cobain's saying.
All right, but you're not singing any lyrics, right? You're just humming along or something?
No, I'm singing.
You're singing the lyrics.
Yeah,
okay.
Theme time, happy time, lemonade hour.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what else the porta potty makes me think of?
What?
Chocolate rain. Chocolate rain.
Come on, Bob. All right. All right. Chocolate rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes they get in there in the porta potty and they just have to do it.
So it's here and we're in a family.
Come on. I don't want to hear push it. Come on, Bob. Bob. Oh, stop it. Bob? Bob? Wow. This is getting impressive. loud.
I feel much better now.
Now that's
a hey.
Wow. That would have been
that
perfect.
That is a hey.
Yep. We got to get on the same page with that.
Yeah, we do.
It's K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat.
More than Ralph is here, Ralph is Irish.
With the
Suck
showbiz
it.
Beat.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. One of my favorite days of the year. I think you have to take advantage of it in a day where you are supposed to drink if you have a job where you can drink.
That's correct.
And one of the great jobs about this one is, one of the things about this job, brother, is that you can drink while you do it. It shows you how unimportant and stupid this job is that
That's
you can
correct.
Do it while loaded. Any job you can do while drinking and or drunk is really not that much of a job.
Yeah, you're
That's
right.
true.
So I appreciate how lucky I am today on St. Patrick's Day. Did you know St. Patrick lived to be 78 years old?
I did not know that, no.
And in the 5th century, that took some doing.
Yeah,
to be 78. The average life expectancy was about 4. So he lived the ripe old age of 78, so we celebrate the day of his death.
It was the alcohol.
That's what it was. It was the booze. Kept him going.
Kept him preserved.
Interesting fact, although we celebrate his passing on March 17th, it's actually uncertain when he died. They believe it was either March 8th or 9th, and no one can decide, so they've combined the two numbers to make the 17th. That's why we celebrate on the 17th.
That's odd. That's an odd way to do
well,
it.
Well, I think we should do the 8th, 9th, and the 17th, just to
now
be sure.
Now you're talking, Lisa.
And then multiply them and do the 72nd, you know?
It's so weird for the church to do something odd, but yet they do it. Because usually they're pretty reasonable.
Hard to believe that's true.
Yeah. So, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. You know there's more Irish people in the United States than there is in Ireland?
Really?
It's true. And now you know the rest of the story.
Did not know that.
Take a look at today's celebrity news, shall we? I read this story, and I wanted to talk about it, but then I got an email from a listener who was actually there, and it's so much more better in the... so much more better?
Well, this good is going to be so good by
I'm
8 o'clock.
Have another
I can't wait.
Sip of this Irish whiskey.
It's so much better when you get it firsthand. So Matthew, our listener, was actually at the Jessica Simpson concert at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Irvine
yes.
this weekend. I don't know if you heard about the story or
I
not.
Didn't.
I didn't
She's performing
either.
With Rascal Flatts.
Oh.
Boy, or Riscal Flatts.
Riscal Flatts, if you're Kevin.
They're not good.
And she kept screwing up to the point where she was booed by the audience.
Really?
She
yeah.
used to be able to sing a song. I mean, not good, but she could do it.
Here comes Matthew. He said he's not a country music fan by any stretch of the imagination, but his girlfriend and her dad invited him to go along, so he decided to go. And he said, I'm so glad I did. Jessica Simpson was absolutely horrible. To start, it looked like she was on something. She couldn't find a correct note with two hands and a flashlight, but the coup de grace, however, was during the 4th song of her set. When she began the song, she shouted, wait, wait, that wasn't right. Those weren't the right words. Can we start over?
What?
So the band had to start over all over again.
Oh, my gosh.
And sure enough, the band followed suit. They started the song over. People in the audience didn't even know how to react. Everyone was looking at each other like the whole thing was a hoax.
You don't see that very often.
Best part is, a couple songs later, she did it again. She actually said the words, wait, I really want you to hear the words to this song.
Well, why don't you learn them?
Good point.
And she had to start over a second time.
That's unbelievable.
I began to think to myself, maybe Tony Romo was in the audience, and that's why she's performing so poorly. I mean, it happens to him. Could it go both ways? Needless to say, I thanked everyone profusely for inviting me, as I wouldn't have missed this evening's festivities for the world.
That's awesome.
Watching
wow.
Jessica Simpson tank to the point of virtual self-destruction on stage in front of thousands of people was priceless. Like a horse with a broken leg, she should be shot and put out of her misery. Matt Hinman, thank you, Matt, for stomaching, first of all, that show, and then bringing us that report.
Very well job done, baby.
Very well job done, indeed. Speaking of people who perhaps shouldn't be performing in front of large audiences, Amy Winehouse back in the news. You know, she's not going to do Coachella.
Right.
She can't enter the United States of America due to her legal problems. Mm-hmm. They won't give her a visa. But she is going to do the next best thing. She has now announced she's going to headline at the 18th annual St. Lucia Jazz Festival in May.
Jazz Festival? What's yeah. she doing in jazz?
I guess that's the only concert they have down there in St. Lucia. It doesn't look like she's leaving anytime soon. So she's going to headline the St. Lucia Jazz Festival.
Sure she is. That's going to happen.
May 8th.
Yep.
I'm telling you, she's going to be there.
Sure.
She may be there. I have no doubt that she'll be there.
No Doubt's going to be there?
No, that's not.
She'll be in the audience drinking.
About 6,000 people per night are expected to attend the festival, which runs from May 2nd to the 10th. She will perform on May 8th, according to the story. Along with Amy on the Bill, Patti LaBelle, Chaka Khan, Chicago, Michael McDonald, and she will be performing with Casey and the Sunshine Band.
What the
and
hell?
That's a jazz festival.
That is a show.
That is not jazz, is what that's
get
not.
Coachella. You can go see Chaka Khan in Chicago with Amy down in St. Lucia if you want to go in May. So
yeah, she's not going to do that either. By the way, I think the people in St. Lucia have had an assful of her as well.
Yeah.
You know what? I would think as well, but apparently the Minister of Tourism there tells a reporter that they're thrilled with her.
Well, because we all now know about St. Lucia.
She's welcome to stay as long as she wants to, he said. We enjoy having her here. I wish we had recording facilities down here. I know she was trying very hard to record her album down here. It's something that the government is working on down the road.
Yeah, she was trying really hard to do that. Yeah. That was her intent.
I get the sense St. Lucia is one of those, like many of these Caribbean islands, it's just a lot of really nice resorts, and then outside, off campus of these resorts, is just desperate poverty.
Yeah, probably.
So
yeah.
I bet the people of St. Lucia are glad to hear they're going to build a recording studio for Amy Winehouse with government money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
But
she does prop up the economy with the alcohol purchases.
That's true. If they tax alcohol, she must be paying for the gross national product of St. Lucia.
That's
right
correct.
Now. And here's good news if you're a TV fan. David Chase, the creator of The Sopranos, is returning to HBO. He is going to write and direct the first few episodes of an upcoming HBO series called A Ribbon of Dreams about the early days of Hollywood.
That'd
a Ribbon of Dreams.
Ribbon of Dreams was the description that Orson Welles gave movies. Because, you know, like a film strip.
Mm-hmm.
He called
right.
it A Ribbon of Dreams. And it's about a cowboy and a mechanical engineer who form a producing partnership in 1913, making them pioneers in the motion picture business, and takes you all the way through the history of early Hollywood with these two guys.
That's common knowledge, the guy's retarded.
Oh, come on.
That's true.
So if you're a movie fan, it could be an interesting series. And David Chase always does good work, so
mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it. And speaking of movies, people down at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas on Sunday were the luckiest people on the planet. I'm very jealous.
Who are they going
to
see?
Sacha Baron Cohen stopped by to show some scenes from his new comedy, Bruno, at the film festival down there.
Oh, they do a film festival before the music
they
festival?
They do music and film down there at South by Southwest, yes. And he did a first screening for the folks down there in Texas. 300 movie fans got to see 22 minutes of the new movie. And people coming out said it was one of the funniest things they've ever seen.
I love him so much.
For those of you who don't know, Bruno is a character that came from the Ali G show that was on HBO and BBC for a while. He is an outrageous gay Austrian fashion correspondent. And in the film, apparently, he's trying to make it big in Hollywood. Scenes from the film shown Sunday night were Bruno trying to adopt a black baby and included in an avant-garde performance art piece he was working on. And also Bruno on a Jerry Springer-style talk show searching for a mate. And Bruno's attempt to reinvent himself as a heterosexual, a character he calls Straight Dave. So, congratulations to those people who got to see that stuff. I'm
that
so
sounds
jealous.
Good. By the way,
wait for that movie.
When does
Kat is going down there this weekend for the music part of it.
Yes.
And we're going to talk to her on Friday. And if you remember last year,
it's the best.
Kat at South by Southwest. We couldn't even hear her.
Oh, this is Kat. Yeah, I was out last night watching bands.
She tends to stay out a little late.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Kurt Russell. Very talented actor and longtime boyfriend of Goldie Hawn. He is 58 years old today. Gary Sinise from CSI New York. Also, Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump, 54. Rob Lowe turns 45. He's on Lisa's show, Uncles and
Brothers
Mama.
And Sisters.
Brothers and Sisters. Is he still on that show or did
yeah,
he die?
He's still there.
I thought he was assassinated or something.
No, he had a heart attack.
Oh.
But he's still there.
Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins is 42. Melissa Auf-Demar from Hole and Pumpkins is 37, and actress Brittany Daniels celebrates her 33rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ow. Ralph's no longer putting it in his coffee now. It's just shots. Just
well, I've got
shots.
A Guinness. I got a Guinness going here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I need a little something to chase the Guinness with.
Wow.
Kevin and Bean Show, 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
No,
Ralph
chases beer with whiskey.
Ralph wears panties.
Easy.
That's
yeah,
the story.
What's this about,
you
Ralph?
You have taken a story and just bent it all out of shape to the point where it's unrecognizable.
Were you
much
talking
like you've
about
done
where,
with the panties?
Are you? Did you not say you wore panties?
I did say.
And
that.
Did you say that they're better than men's underwear?
That's my point of the story. Is that women have been keeping this a secret for a long time? That their underwear kicks our underwear's ass.
Well, it's certainly prettier and softer.
Well, here's the thing.
There is
I'll
that.
I'll tell you the story behind how I came to wear women's panties.
Please.
I train with this boxing coach.
Room's starting to spin real fast because of gayness.
I work out at a boxing gym. Mm-hmm. That's what I do for the limited amount of physical activity that I get. And the only time he has available in his schedule is immediately after the show here on the
right.
Kevin and Bean Show. So I have to go right from the station to the gym if I want to work out with this guy. Now, he was out of town for about 10 days, so I didn't work out for a while. And ordinarily, I'm a commando guy. I don't wear the underwear in general. I just kind of swing in the breeze. So I was coming into work last week, and he was back in town, and I realized I had a workout that day, and I was not wearing any underwear.
Okay.
I had my jeans on, but no underwear.
Right.
Now, here's the thing about me. I can't work out without some sort of support because I have pendulous genitals. And by the way, pendulous genitals.
Play Coachella.
I do. I can't. And there's a lot of movement involved in a boxing workout, and I just cannot go without some sort of serious support. Because,
I would imagine most men couldn't, right?
Well, especially me, Liz. I'm not even talking about the main
right.
sure.
part of it. Just
all ball.
All just. I could be used as a speed bag in the gym if they ever needed one because okay. I'm hanging low. And it's uncomfortable to the point of painful sometimes if I'm not well supported.
Right, but how did
so
the
usually
panties...
I wear men's briefs, you know, small, tight men's briefs or a jock
nice.
For the workout. I didn't have any of that.
Right.
I realized as I was driving to work last week. So I said, I have to get something if I want to go work out. And I said, I know what I'll do. I'll pull by CVS at on Fairfax there.
Drug
it's a 24-hour drugstore there. And I know it's a huge drugstore, so they not just have, you know, the usual drugstore stuff, aspirin and cough medicine stuff, but they've got a whole aisle full of clothing.
Right.
Yeah, they usually have socks and underwear.
Exactly. So this way I can swing by. It's the only thing open at this time of the morning. I can swing by and pick up, a three-pack of cheapy Hanes or something, have something to go to work out with. So I go to CVS. Turns out, no men's underwear.
Really?
No men's underwear.
I would have thought there would be.
Men's socks, no men's underwear. But racks and racks and racks of women's underwear. Panties.
Sure.
So I said, look.
How?
Any port in a storm, right? It's an emergency.
I guess, but there's no support there.
Au contraire, mon
frère.
There
is?
You would think. See, that's how they led us to believe that women's underwear is all just frilly for our amusement and just, oh, doesn't it look good? I got me a three-pack of Hanes women's panties. And
extra large?
Yeah, thankfully they had them in my size. And I, out of necessity, had to put them on at the gym under my trunks to go work out. They didn't have flowers. No, they were basic. They were white cotton panties.
Oh, you got lucky.
Did you put this music on?
I did not.
As you were working out?
It was
pure, time to box.
It was pure necessity.
Did you hide in the bathroom while you put them
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I was like, God, no one walked into the locker room while I'm changing into these. But I put them on, and not only were they supported, but the fabric, the cotton that they make women's panties out of is so nice and smooth and lightweight. You
right.
barely feel like you're wearing anything.
Right.
It makes men's cotton underwear feel like sandpaper.
Right, but...
rough and raw and bulky and horrible. This was smooth. It was smooth fitting to my body. And the
no
waist...
No visible panty line?
The waistband was sort of... it was thinner and more giving, but at the same time, it held me in place.
How?
I'm telling you, I don't know. I never knew until I put on women's underwear how great they were.
As a guy who needs more support than you.
Oh, stop
here
it.
Here we go.
But the texture and the fit and the support, and because they're sort of women's and they were low and tight, they were a perfect. It was like wearing a jock and underwear in the same mix.
No, I don't buy that.
It was a wonderful underwear experience, I'm telling you.
Let's go to Dana in Long Beach. Good morning, Dana.
Oh, I just had to turn the radio off for the gayness.
I hear you.
You wear a sports bra on them.
Have you tried a sports
bra?
I have
not yet, but I'm thinking about it because apparently there's more secrets than women have been hiding from me that I'm other than the name, you know, if it didn't say women's underwear, it would be something you would definitely want to wear.
Dana, if I could figure out how to turn it off from this end, I would do that as well.
Oh, thank you.
You did the right thing. Thank you for calling. So are you wearing panties now?
I am not.
Well, why not?
Because
you said they're better.
Because I really prefer the feeling of just being, just letting Big Jim and the boys run naked around the farm. But
here's what I don't understand.
Where's
probably
the farm?
Because I'm
first of all.
That's one of the things. If you need all that support, how come you don't normally? Like, just when you're walking around, how can you go commando in jeans and stuff?
I'm not bouncing around and, you know.
So jeans have some support?
No, I don't do the physical activity in my normal day that I need the support for. I don't bang against my inner thighs the way I do when I'm in the boxing ring
or
skipping rope or something. You obviously need that sort of support, but I don't need it in my everyday life.
Someone's at the door.
Hey, anyone gay?
It's not gay. I'm just saying I had to wear this underwear, and it was like a revelation. Much to my surprise, women's underwear just kicks ass.
That is so gay.
Okay.
Gay.
I knew we would get these calls.
Gay.
I'm just saying, if I was going to wear underwear and I had a choice between men's briefs and women's briefs, I would absolutely opt for the women's briefs. Other than the name, what they call them, I would absolutely opt for that underwear because it's much more comfortable and it provided everything I wanted in an underwear experience.
That seems kind of gay to me.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Homosexual.
Yeah. No, it has nothing to do with sexuality. It has to do with the structural content and the material makeup of that particular pair
really,
of
underwear. Really, really gay.
All right.
I
knew we would get these calls, so we're going to take a break and come back with some of them. But there are people, there are guys out there who agree with Ralph and who wear them full time.
I never would have known if I hadn't been exposed to this underwear out of necessity.
Are you going to wear them again to the gym?
I bought a 3-pack, and I got to tell you, the underwear is in my gym bag. It is there.
He's sold.
Wow. I'm telling you, Kevin, it was wonderful. It was supportive and soft and just, and it made me feel pretty. Hey, it was very comfortable. Very comfortable and... And it did the job very well, I'm just saying.
I hope the guys at the gym are listening to this.
I hope they're not.
Who wants to spar today? Let's get sweaty.
I think you're missing the point.
The point is that you're wearing women's panties.
I'm not wearing women's panties as we speak. I wore women's panties once, and I was surprised at how comfortable and really serving they were to their purpose. The cotton was much softer. They were just as supportive, if not more so, than men's underwear.
There's no way.
And they wicked the perspiration away from certain areas of my body better than men's underwear would.
Yeah.
And which made me feel more dry and more comfortable in that region. They were ideal for the purpose. And I had never known that women's panties were this good before, and they'd been keeping the secret from us this whole time.
You must have a little itty-bitty wiener.
I don't at all.
All right.
And I have enormous balls. I'm just saying, if I took the same fabric and the same style and I just made them, but then I slapped Calvin Klein's men's underwear on them and you wore them, you'd say, these are great underwear. I'm really glad I'm wearing these. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Here's what happened, if I could cut to the chase. Ralph got caught wearing women's underwear. And so this is him, like, trying to figure out a way to, nip it in the bud before it goes too far.
They were emergency underwear so I could go to the gym. That's what they were. That's
how do you feel about homosexuality?
Look, if there's one thing we know about Ralph, it's that if he really did like wearing women's underwear, he wouldn't be caught doing it. He and his wife would know about it, and it wouldn't be a big deal to him.
I'd be wearing I love panties t-shirt right now, if that was the case. I've just never worn them before, never had a reason to, never had any interest to. I had to out of this one particular situation, and once I put them on, I was like, wow, these are great.
It was a revelation.
Let's go to Dennis in Alhambra. Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Dennis?
Hey, I completely disagree with those two gay guy callers.
Yes.
And I definitely agree with Ralph.
Oh, interesting, Dennis.
You're the man, Ralph.
Do you wear panties?
Yes.
How about that? What a surprise that you disagree with the callers.
Yep. They haven't even tried it yet, and they're judging it about gayness. It's not gay.
Are you a straight guy, Dennis?
Yes, I am, of course.
And you've worn women's panties?
I'm wearing it right now.
You know what's so funny? As I listen to you, I do think to myself, you are so f***ing gay.
Stop it.
So what is it you like about them?
No, the
pinkness?
No, the Rob.
The flowers?
It's so soft and comfortable.
They are,
you know?
They are enormously comfortable and very supportive at the same time.
Yes, they are. Here's what happened, okay? I banged this Asian chick before,
right.
And I was trying to sneak out of their house
right.
In the middle of the night. I was looking for my boxer shorts. I cannot find it. So I grabbed her underwear going home,
Yes.
So
on my way home, I was like, oh, this feels comfortable.
Well, this is highly unlikely.
Ever since then, I bought those Hanes underwear and then keep on wearing them.
So you now wear panties all the time?
Yes. The only time I don't wear it is when I go to bars and clubs, when I get a chance to bang chicks.
Yeah, because you might score.
But I'm not going to wear them.
It's a lot of explaining when you get the girl home. I understand
that
part.
Are those panties?
No, they're manties.
Could you be any gayer?
That's all the kind right, I got the Hanes 3-pack. That's what I bought at the CVS, and I'm telling you, very comfortable, very absorbent,
all right,
very
take
supportive.
It easy. Let's
I'm
go
just
to,
telling
now
you.
Now I want them.
Let's go to Georgia, the city that seems to have all men who wear panties, Alhambra. Good morning, George.
Hi, George.
Hey, good morning. There's nothing wrong with wearing panties. I mean, one time, I was filling up my wife, and I like the way they feel. I don't know what material they're made out of, either satin or silk or something. But, I mean, they just felt so soft, so I decided to try them on. And
can we steer away from gay people?
Will you let the man speak?
Sorry, go ahead.
And, they're pretty comfortable, and they're real supportive. And the one thing I really liked about them is, when you have a package and stuff, they're stretchy, so your package should fit in there.
That's
you
what I'm saying.
Clearly have a tiny package. That's
he
the only
not.
Explanation
he
for this whole
not.
Thing.
Boy, that was really gay.
I'm telling you, it's a different kind of cotton. It's very, it's unlike any cotton you've ever felt on men's underwear.
Yeah,
before.
Men's underwear, they're
not
nothing
nearly.
Like that. Now, did they
because
have, they
some
have
guys need support, because they're
I
not like
need
a
support, I'm
Ken
telling
doll
you.
Down there.
I Ken doll.
What would happen if you caught your man wearing panties? What would you say?
Oh, you got caught wearing them?
Yes, I did.
Your wife caught you?
And what'd she say?
Well, she just looked at me. She stared at me fun. She just said, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I just wanted to try them on. So
did,
I mean,
did she kick you out?
I wear them all the time. She just saw me that one time.
Yeah. Boy, that was really gay.
And then you never had hotter sex in your life after that, did you?
Nice try, Ralph. Nice try.
Just trying to put a happy ending on the story.
Thank you for calling.
I'm just saying they feel great.
Let's go to Angel in Montclair.
Orale.
Who borrowed his sister's panties. Borrowed. Keyword here. Angel?
Hey, yeah, good morning. Women's underwear by far has, they, like, wick the moisture away from your body parts.
That's what I'm saying.
So when you run, which I run and I go to the gym continuously, like, this was not an option. I just had to have something, try something different because I was getting a rub in the wrong areas
right.
from the moisture. So the condensation of men's underwear just kind of kept it all in that place when I wore.
Queer. Queer.
Stop it. I understand
well, you know
what
where.
You're saying. I know exactly what you're saying.
I didn't say where.
I worked out for an hour in the gym as I was boxing, and I was never more comfortable down that region because that particular kind of cotton just wicks away the perspiration.
You weren't boxing, were you, Ralph?
I was
be
absolutely
honest.
Boxing.
Oh, I was boxing. That's what I was doing when I was wearing panties. I was boxing.
What do you think?
Because I'm
doing,
a manly
Kevin?
Man.
What do you think I was doing?
Tonsil
what is,
boxing.
What is your.
What, yeah,
what dispersions do you want to cast upon me?
Gay.
Can we talk to Gail? Can we talk to Gail and Brea?
Gail and Brea,
yeah,
sure.
Let's talk to Gail.
All right.
Get her take on things.
Gail, hi.
Good morning.
What's up, Gail?
Well, I just have to say E-A-G-L-E-S, bro.
He can't say that.
I can't say it, but I appreciate that you did.
Oh, nice try. Oh, but wait a minute. Why are you calling up about that football team?
Because any man that can wear women's panties and root for the Eagles is my kind of man.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think he's a homosexual.
Ladies love a man in panties, fellas. That's what I'm telling you.
I'm pretty sure that's not the case. The dude that got caught by his wife said that she wasn't necessarily overjoyed.
Well, it would take a little adjustment, but if a guy said to me what Ralph has told us, I'd be like, dude, I get it.
It's just underwear. Underwear
is not a big deal.
What's the big deal?
It's a big deal.
What is
if
the big
you
deal?
Have
he's
a penis.
Making me happy at
what
home,
is the big deal?
I don't care what he's wearing.
I'm saying that they've got flowers on them and they're pink.
No, these didn't. They were white cotton panties.
Oh, Gail, stop it.
Oh,
poor Kevin. He's so locked in his fear.
What are you afraid of, Kevin?
I'm afraid that you will want to have sex with me.
Maybe the inner lady inside you will just burst through.
Those are the people that are most afraid.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what it is.
What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid you're going to try and have sex with me.
After you dye your hair blonde and you shave your legs, you'll just go over the edge.
Are you saying I'm gay?
Yes.
Because I don't wear panties?
That's right.
Yes.
If you wore panties, you'd be a lot more man. That's what we're saying.
John in Anaheim.
How's it going, guys? Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you as well.
John.
Long story short, had to have a costume for a pub crawl.
Mm-hmm.
Up in women's panties. Invigorating.
How great were they?
Continue to wear them.
See? That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
Might have little cherries on them.
Little cherries on them.
Oh, that sounds good. I might have to get a pair of those.
Little cherries is what you're saying.
Would you like to nibble at my cherries, ladies? I could say that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I actually lost them one night when I was wearing them drunk, and I'm so mad.
Oh, you can never replace those.
Yeah, I know.
Cherry panties. What's wrong with you people? It's cherry panties.
Even some guys might take a little further than I would like to.
That dude has cherry panties. Jason in Lakewood.
Hey, Kevin. I got to side with you on this.
Please.
I love women's panties on my wife.
Yeah, on women.
Exactly. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. Does Ralph, you wear a G-string too?
No, I don't. I don't cotton to the butt floss.
Bustier.
These were just full blown.
You wear a bustier?
Full coverage panties.
Lipstick.
Well, you know, it depends on what my outfit is like.
You know why?
Let me guess what you're going to say about me, Kevin. I can't imagine. I can't. Gay.
Wow.
Gay.
I am gay. Shocked.
I'd rather die.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 744. Paul Rudd, Jason Siegel in the next hour talking about I Love You, Man.
Yeah. Paul Rudd's here. I think he's just smashed. I think he's just hammered.
That's awesome.
He just stinks of gin.
That's good news.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know how St. Patrick's Day began, and that's why we are here to inform you how it all started. It all started in the South when they saw a leprechaun in
the
a
South
tree.
Here? In the U.S.?
Southern United States.
A couple
States.
Years ago, apparently, right? That's when the whole thing got started?
That's correct. They saw a leprechaun in the tree, and there was a news reporter out there, and it went a little something like this.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say, yeah!
Yeah!
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears.
That's how stupid these people are, by the way. What happens?
Would that be a shadow, by any chance?
How could a flashlight make it a shadow. That's what it is.
So you're telling me that St. Patrick's Day was started by...
In Mobile, Alabama.
By the blacks
yes.
in Mobile, Alabama.
That's correct. About 3 years ago.
Wow. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
I love this
one. My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead, but got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this.
She's got a point, by the way. It could be a crackhead. I mean, you got to take all, you know, options into account.
Do you have a worse version of this tape, by the way?
I don't know. We doctored that to make it even worse than it possibly could have been.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in a tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say yeah?
Say yeah!
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 amateur sketch, sketch. Level cut, level cut, level cut, level cut. Miss amateur sketch, sketch. Level cut, level cut, level cut, level cut. Miss amateur sketch, sketch. Level cut, level cut, level cut, level cut. Miss amateur sketch, sketch.
Leprechaun flute, leprechaun flute, leprechaun flute.
Give me the gold.
Leprechaun flute, leprechaun flute, leprechaun flute.
Give me the gold.
Leprechaun flute, leprechaun flute, leprechaun flute.
Give me the gold.
Leprechaun flute, leprechaun flute, leprechaun flute.
Give me the gold. 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 Give me the gold.
Great grandfather who was Irish. Irish.
Give me the gold. 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 Give me the gold.
Great grandfather who was Irish. Irish.
What a goal. What a goal. What a goal. I wanna know what a goal. What a goal. What a goal. I wanna know what a goal. What a goal. What a goal. I wanna know what a goal. What a goal. What a goal.
And that's how St. Patrick's Day got started.
There's nothing like traditional Irish music to put you in the mood for St. Patrick's Day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Eringobra!
Slancha!
That's what we say in the motherland.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Slancha is the Irish cheers.
Oh, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, slancha is what they say when you tip a glass.
You're
in the old
me up,
country.
No,
slancha.
Slancha.
Slancha to you, my friend. Eringobra. St. Patrick's Day, the best day of the year, because you can really... management doesn't even mind if I drink on the job on this day.
It's expected.
It is. It's encouraged.
If you don't drink,
actually,
I'll send
by
you
guys.
Home.
We have Paul Rudd and Jason Segel coming up.
That's great.
They're in the other room.
Woo!
I love you, man.
Love you too, man.
No, I'm not saying that. This is their new movie. I offered them cocktails in the other room. They had to decline. Because they got the premiere tonight.
Oh, right.
Come on. How many hours is that from
day.
Now? 12 hours from
I
now?
I said, oh, you play men on the screen, but when it comes to real life, you're not so interested.
Gay! Gay!
No,
gay!
Not
again?
No,
right.
No. But maybe we can coerce them when we get them on the air. Just a couple minutes. Speaking of casting aspersions on people's sexuality, just want to add a quick email about our conversation about me wearing women's underwear.
About you wearing panties?
Yes.
You can't say the word panties,
can
you?
I can say panties. I said it just now. This comes from Sigifredo Zepeda, who, by the way, was in the armed forces, was in the army.
Okay.
That's what you might want to know. Ralph, you may want to add to the conversation that a lot of servicemen use panties for road marches and long runs.
No kidding.
Yes, just for the reasons that I was mentioning, Lisa. Yeah. I personally didn't wear them, but a lot of the others in my boot camp swore by them. I wish I had worn them. Because I realized at the end of several long runs, my inner thighs looked like Rosie O'Donnell's cheeks after stuffing her face from all that chafing. Just an FYI. And Sigifredo, thank you so much for that information. So, I guess you don't support our troops, Kevin. I guess that's how you roll.
Are you in the military, or were you?
Yes.
So, no?
I was in the KISS Army.
Oh, the KISS Army?
I was in the KISS Army when I was a kid.
Not the same, really.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Unless you go on long walks in the KISS Army.
On the beach. Yeah. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Bob Barker has an autobiography coming out called Priceless Memories. Get it, Price?
Because he did The Price is Right.
Yes.
How does he do it?
And the Price is Wrong, bitch.
I told you one story that he was sparring with Chuck Norris and Chuck broke his ribs.
Right.
Because they're close friends and Chuck was teaching him karate, which just seems like a feverish dream you might have after eating some bad clams or something. I had this dream that Bob Barker and Chuck Norris were boxing or fighting each other. Well, another story from the book has surfaced. Apparently, Bob was this close to being a porn star.
What?
What?
There was a fork in the road of his career where he could have gone porn or mainstream, and he chose mainstream. Thank God for those many years we got him on The Price is Right and Truth or Consequences. But he could have been in porn.
Wasn't he the host that was having sex with the models or whatever?
Yeah, Barker's Beauties backstage.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah. So he's doing both, really.
Bob apparently started his career as a model. And he was a buff bodybuilding kind of dude in Miami
Barker?
Beach. Yes.
I've only known him since he was old.
See, every old man, Kevin, had a youth. You have to remember that.
Not usually.
He was a buff photography model in Palm Beach, Florida. And when he came to California to pursue his career, he caught the attention of a photographer who asked Bob if he would like to get into porn films. Wanted to be a porn star.
Wow.
Bob turned him down. And regretted the decision ever since.
Yeah. I don't know. You got a lot more beauties.
But, I've seen him holding his skinny little long microphone many times.
Stop it. Sad news. It's kind of hard to do with this music, but actress... actress Natasha Richardson apparently has been hospitalized with a serious head injury following a skiing accident.
Oh, no.
Don't you sad news on St. Patrick's Day.
I know. I didn't want to, but everyone keeps emailing me saying, have you heard about this story? Have you heard about it? Yes, I have heard about it. I've just been sort of ignoring it because it's a bummer. But she was apparently skiing up in Montreal, according to People magazine, and she is currently in the hospital. She is married to Liam Neeson, and he was in Toronto filming a movie. He had to leave the set immediately to fly to his wife's side, but apparently it's a very serious accident. So we're hoping for the best for Natasha Richardson because she's a real good actress and seems like a real nice lady. So... that's the bummer news. Here's the good news. Jenna Jameson and Tito Ortiz are the latest celebrities to hop on the Hollywood Twins train. The former star of X-rated films told Us Weekly magazine that she had two bouncing baby boys early Monday morning and everyone is in good health. So congratulations to Jenna and Tito Ortiz. You know how when you go bowling... the ball comes back, the ball returns?
Yeah.
That's how the babies came out.
Is that right? So
just smooth as silk. Just, it was like, boom, boom, boom. It just fell out. I'm just saying.
Tito, that's Ralph.
There's been a lot of, at K-Rock.com. Lot of traffic. That's all I'm saying. Are we out of time? Yes, we are. Thank God. Before I get myself into more trouble. Stick around. We've got...
Paul Rudd and Jason Segel?
Yes. Both of those people.
Wow.
I almost said Judd Nelson.
Maybe. I haven't checked the other room, but...
Paul Rudd.
It's possible.
Judd. All comes together. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Kurt Russell's 58 years old today. Gary Sinise turns 54. Rob Lowe is 45 years old today. Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins turns 42. Melissa Auftemar from Smashing Pumpkins and Hole is 37 years old today. And actress Brittany Daniel celebrates her 33rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Just a shot. Just have a shot. Just a shot.
Man up.
Yeah.
Actually, Siegel's actually just poured himself one.
Did.
God bless him.
Paul?
Rudd's the weak one.
Week, I'm drinking black coffee.
I'm sorry, that is...
He's drinking black coffee.
I'm drinking black coffee with whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're drinking black coffee and black Bush.
That's right.
Yes, that's correct.
Is. Which is actually Bushmills, for those of you who are...
Before you start complaining, ladies.
Sending complaint letters.
I'm writing the letters.
Paul Rudd, Jason Segel in the studio right now. The movie is I Love You, Man. It comes out Friday. This Friday, right?
That's right, March 20th.
You're doing the world premiere tonight?
That's right.
And you're going to go home and sleep right after this.
Yes, that's the plan.
And Paul, you're just going to fall asleep right now, you said.
I'm hoping to fall asleep actually on the radio.
Yes.
We'll try to make that happen
We've
for you.
We've had that happen before.
Have you? Has anyone actually?
Steve-O.
Yes.
Steve-O fell asleep on the
Wow.
I think he nodded off more than fell asleep.
Yeah. But he was asleep for like 6 months. I mean, every time he came in. But the Cardigans. Remember that band?
Sure.
Yeah. One of their guitarists literally put his head down on the table
during
and just
the interview.
Went out.
Just gone. It goes down in history as the worst interview Kevin has ever done.
Well, it is early, isn't it?
Especially for bands.
Especially for the Swedes.
Yeah. He might have been jet lagged. He might have been jet lagged.
Could have been.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I've never really seen anyone more out cold, though, in the presence of everyone doing stuff. He just couldn't have blocked us out more. It was pretty awesome.
Did the rest of the band try and wake him up?
Nope.
No, they were awful.
Really?
They hated us. They hated being here.
They wouldn't answer questions.
Well, we love being here.
It was a nightmare.
I know you do.
Well, we're happy to have you guys.
Not so hot about
really. I Love You, Man opens this weekend. And it's funny, I was talking to my wife about this, that it is a comedy that addresses an issue that I don't think has ever been addressed before, but it's the fact that as you get older as a guy, if you lose your friends that you had, like in college or high school, it's hard to make new friends. You don't get that opportunity very
often. I was talking to your wife about this, too. It is really tricky because when you're young, your friends are, you know, your classmates. And as you get older, they become sort of friends of other friends or your girlfriend or wife's friends by extension. And you know, a woman has the luxury. She can go into, like, a ladies' restroom and come out with a new best
That's
friend.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Always does. That's
Guys
true.
Guys could do that, too. You just have to
go to the ladies' room and get a new friend.
Choose a special bar.
And not at the airport. Airport, you get arrested.
Yeah, don't tap your foot.
I'm pretty sure that if without my wife, I would know no one. I mean, I think that's pretty
accurate. My best friend just recently, a couple years ago, moved to New York. And I've got another good friend of mine who's been in rehab for a year. I'm not kidding. I might see him soon, actually.
Good.
But... it's been really hard for me. My wife goes out all the time with her friends, and I sit at home, and I say, I would like to have a new friend. I really could use one.
Oh, well, you need to watch this movie then, Ralph.
And this movie's about a guy who needs a best man,
Yeah, right? Yeah, and not just the best man, but groomsman, and really, well, you know what? Just a friend. Because I get engaged to Rashida Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Right?
Good choice.
And then you go looking
for
men.
That was a sound effect.
That was a bell.
Is there a cowbell?
We have a bell.
No, we got a cowbell.
No, we would do the cowbell for fat girls.
I'm
just saying.
It's not a nice show.
You opened the door, right?
Nice.
I'm just saying.
This is a good one. This is a good one. Rashida Jones.
Yeah, that's a stapler.
That's a stapler doesn't really mean that's sexy
not,
so much.
That's not a sound effect thing.
Rashida Jones.
And
there we go.
He's doing the sip.
There's the cowbell.
All right. Cowbell.
All right, let's put
it. So, anyway, I get engaged, and she's like starts calling all of her friends to share the good news. And then she says, you know, do you want to call anybody? And I don't have anyone to call.
It was
in the script. And and so anyway, that's kind of like when she first realizes, and I first realized I don't really have any male friends. So that's when I think, all right, I need to get a friend, not just a best man, but because she's kind of weirded out, understandably.
Well, she's a little worried about you if you don't have any friends.
Yeah, well, you know it's just, I mean? I'm a girlfriend guy. I put my energies into my relationship.
But you're right, it does raise a red flag for why doesn't he have friends?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Would that freak you out?
Yes. Yeah. I would find it bothersome that I had a guy that had no friends.
Well, like, you know, I think about...
Why are you such a loser, Paul?
In the film.
In the film, your character. In real life, you're a stud.
Well...
You smell good.
Thank
what the
you.
Hell's yeah. going on over there, Ralph?
I'm just attracted. I can't help myself.
It's just in the movie he needs a friend.
I think, in fairness, Paul Rudd is dreamy.
He is dreamy.
He is dreamy.
That's it's true. Not, no. I'm wearing canoe. So, what was I saying, Jason?
Well, we were talking about that some women, it would bother them. You were about to get
to where the movie really picks up.
Where it kicks in. So Jason steps in about 20 minutes in, and that's when... Things get funny.
So the first reel is kind of slow, Jason?
Well, I'm just saying, buy your tickets in advance to make sure you have a seat, but you can show up like 20 minutes late.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good tip.
Right.
Yeah. Most people won't tell you that.
Right.
The kid.
That's Jason's character's name, and I said, we're waiting to hear from Prince from Purple Rain. The lawsuits are coming in.
You guys, of course, had worked together before Knocked Up, right?
Yeah.
Had you worked together other than that?
Yeah, Paul was nice enough to do a small part in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Yeah.
That's right, of course.
I thought was so nice of him because Paul Rudd is like the greatest actor in the history of comedy.
He is, that's true.
Yeah, and then he showed up and played this little tiny part in Sarah Marshall.
And you guys are all part of that sort of incestuous Judd Apatow group of...
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the only reason I'm working.
Company that you guys have been together.
Sleeping with your cousins and whatnot.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a minion.
Hey, we have a bunch of tickets to give away for the world premiere tonight.
Sweet.
Which you guys are having.
But let me just say, that's impressive to me because I've been like pounding them to just get one more ticket. And then I found out you guys have up to some amount of tickets to give away.
We can't get them.
Bring in some winner sheet. If you guys want to call and ask
questions. How about if we ask some I Love You Man trivia, and if you guys can answer, then you can win tickets. How about that?
Yeah. That's our winner sheet. You're going to have to fill that out.
Really?
Put it down,
maybe like some of the winners that get it, maybe we can talk them into giving us their tickets.
That's a good way to do it.
That's good. So if anyone has questions, you can call at 1-800-520-1067 and we'll give you tickets. Or you can donate them to the guys who still need more. Strangely enough. I Love You Man is the name of the movie.
You guys have in Hollywood.
I know. Yeah. I'll do anything for these tickets.
We got juice.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Paul Rudd and Jason Segel in the studio with us. I Love You Man comes out on Friday.
I can't wait to see this movie, not just for you guys, because, you know, you're hacks. Let's face it.
No, it's true.
But Andy Samberg plays your brother.
Hilarious.
And J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Who a lot of people may not know the name, but you know if you saw Juno or
Oz.
The Closer or Oz.
Or Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, of course, plays J. Jonah Jameson.
Spider-Man.
Have you seen Spider-Man?
Whoa, Abe Spider-Man, the best guy in the village.
He'll climb up a building, oi.
Oh, Abe Spider-Man.
Mr. Spider-Man.
You guys doing your Spider-Man chunk.
You know, I'll tell you something. It's not a bad guy.
Who's that?
Batman.
Oh, Herb Batman.
Amazing cast. Lou Ferrigno stopped by. We've all seen it in the trailer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We got a little Jane Curtin in there, original cast.
That's I love that.
No kidding. Yeah, I haven't seen her in a while.
Pretty amazing. I kept saying, Jane, you ignorant slut, you know? And then she found out I didn't know that was from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, good. Wow. You're being serious about it. What are you going to do?
We have a clip to play. This is of the one where you guys talk about farting.
Fantastic.
Which, you're a real estate agent, right?
That's right.
And then you're looking for a gay fling of some kind in the house?
It's an open house.
Right, that's what I meant.
Exactly. It's all euphemism.
Right.
I'm selling Lou Ferrigno's house. I'm his realtor, okay. And that's where I meet this guy.
The kid.
Yeah, the kid.
That's where I meet Prince.
And you see a guy that's looking to unload some gas, mm-hmm. and you have this conversation.
That guy needs to fart. It's pretty clear, but he doesn't know her well enough to do it in front of her, so I assume they haven't slept together.
He does seem to be clenching.
Watch, when he gets enough space, he can let one rip, I guarantee it. Oh, that's a good move. Hey, go check out the kitchen, honey. I'll meet you in there. Now watch. Watch the leg. Wait for it. Fart. Boom. That's a fart.
That's a fart.
Oh, my God. Look at him. Crop dusting across your open house. It's a disgrace.
He farted in my open house.
He sure did.
You know what, guy? I like it, but I'm thinking it might be a little bit small.
Totally, and it smells like fart.
You know a movie's funny if the clip plays on the radio. That's how you can really tell a comedy film.
We've been playing commercials for this for, I don't know, a week or two, and they all start with, that guy needs to fart.
Yeah. So. Know our audience, boys.
Yeah,
NPR was doing that.
I'm sure. Let's take a few calls.
Oh, exciting.
Trying to figure out just exactly which
calls
ones,
from
though.
The fans. Yeah. Any of you know what an Irish car bomb's made
out
of?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, all right, let's
get that one to Jason, then.
All right. Justin in Rancho Cucamonga, good morning.
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
What's your question?
Question is, do you guys know what an Irish car bomb is made from?
I believe that is a Guinness, and you drop in a shot of whiskey and Bailey's, and then you chug it as quickly as possible.
That is correct.
There you go.
Nice.
Thank you.
If you have any other questions about drinks, feel free to give us a call.
Jason's the one who put a little whiskey in his coffee this morning, by the way. He's my kind of guy.
This
man
morning.
Who knows.
Every morning. All right, let's go to
Are
Stephanie.
We giving tickets away to these people?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
To tickets to the
premiere. These guys can't get
tickets
to their own premiere, but we're giving Irish car bomb questions.
Well, we're going to ask them if they'll donate them back to Paul or Jason. You know. Stephanie in West Hollywood, good morning. Hello? Stephanie, hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
What movie did Paul Rudd show on Conan O'Brien instead of the movie that he was actually there?
Oh, that's an easy one.
What was it?
Every time I'm on that show and I show a clip, it's from Mac and Me.
She says correct. You're right. Congratulations. You get a prize.
I got it right. Do I win tickets?
For those who don't know Mac and Me, can you briefly explain the premise of Mac and Me?
Mac and Me is, it was a movie essentially funded by McDonald's and Coca-Cola, and it is a by-the-book remake, horrible remake of E.T.
Yes.
And it's exceptional.
Yeah.
Wow.
Except the alien needs McDonald's to live.
The aliens need Coke to live. There's an entire sequence that shot at McDonald's.
And it's
Skittles instead of Reese's Pieces.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't Ronald McDonald make a cameo?
Yeah.
I believe he does.
And one of the characters, the main characters, works at McDonald's and is always wearing her uniform in the entire
Is this on DVD?
I hope so.
Because I need to
get it on VHS.
Yeah.
I need to get a copy of that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, let's go to Ivan in Los Angeles. Good morning, Ivan.
Yeah. Ivan, sweet name. You don't meet a lot of Ivans anymore.
No.
It's a good name.
I don't really have a trivia question, but a question for Jason Segel.
That's fine.
I loved Dracula, the musical puppet show, and Forgetting Sarah
Marshall. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, will you be performing that anywhere live someday?
Will it take on a life of its own?
Yeah, no, I've sort of parlayed that. I'm writing the new Muppets movie for Disney, so there's a...
I'm sorry. You're writing the new Muppets movie.
I am. I'm trying to bring the Muppets back to
How
their original
sweet is
glory.
That?
Yeah, it's like my childhood dream. So, no, it's true. I don't know why you're laughing, lady.
It's a strange childhood dream.
It is. Yeah. No, I'm trying
How
to.
How did that come
some
about?
Some guys want to be astronauts. Jason wanted to be a Muppet writer.
Yeah. How did you get hooked up with a Muppet movie?
Well, the Henson Company designed the puppets for Sarah Marshall, and I asked them about the Muppets, and they said, oh, we sold them to Disney. And I was just thinking about, I felt like the Muppets took sort of a strange turn with, like, the Muppets Treasure Island and Muppets Do Dickens, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so I went to them and said I want to bring the Muppets back to how I remember them and reacquaint kids with, like, the Muppets of Muppets Take Manhattan. And so So I'm going for it. There were, believe me, there was actually a spattering of laughter in the pitch room when I pitched it to Disney. And I was like, no, I'm serious.
I really mean this.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully we'll film it soon.
And what about this? How does that pertain to the song and performing it live?
I will be doing other Muppet songs in that Muppet movie.
I was into that question.
Going
I
off
to make
on
sure.
the puppet tangent.
Yes.
Yeah,
same.
I no longer own the Dracula musical.
No,
that's a shame. No.
Really? You sold it?
Disney owns it. Property of the studio of Universal.
But you started writing it years before, and it was kind of serious.
It wasn't written for the movie. That was written during my out of work period when I thought the way that I would rejuvenate my career would be to put on a live Dracula puppet musical. But without any sense of irony, it was a drama when I wrote it. And I played it for Judd Apatow, and Judd pushed stop on the CD player and said, Jason, I'm going to give you some advice. Please, just don't ever play this for anyone, ever.
Could you send us a copy of that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you're out of work. Yeah. You're taking yourself a little too seriously
I know.
At that stage.
I know. I was, yeah, it's the arrogance of youth.
Yeah, sure.
Can you guys stick around for one more break?
Sure.
All right, absolutely. Time. Jason Segel, Paul Rudd is here. The movie is I Love You, Man. It comes out Friday, and we will be.
Nice.
Either you guys are just really good actors, or you have some experience in a band.
It looked like we knew what we were doing.
Looked like you knew what
we
were doing.
We were in actually a pretty great air band.
Were you?
Is that right?
Yeah.
You played the air bass. And you played the air drums.
Was it Air Asia?
Yes, exactly.
They were talking about Asia during that entire song.
Because, of course, Heat of the Moment was well featured in
it. It was actually an air cover band. We didn't play our own song.
Air Supply?
Yeah.
Air Supply.
We're Air. We just did the French band.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so I Love You, Man.
Trucker, that's funny.
Comes out on Friday, you guys are going to spend the whole weekend getting updates. How does it work for you guys?
Going to show up to theaters and sit in the back and listen to
laugh
audience
extra
reaction.
Hard to make sure they're laughing in the right places.
I'll probably go to a theater or two. I'll be in New York, and I'll probably go check it out from the back just to see if people like it. But
do you slip in late so they don't see you? Because it.
Well,
I can understand why you would
want to. Spot on you.
It looks a little.
Star of the movie coming in.
Yeah.
Do you guys think so far?
I'm pretty good, huh?
I had a terrible experience watching the movie from the back of the theater once.
Yeah.
It was the first test screening for getting Sarah Marshall. And I was really scared because it was the first thing I had written and the first thing I'd ever starred in.
And you were very nude.
And I was very nude. And so I snuck into the back of the theater and I got like a hat pulled down and like a trench coat, which is even more conspicuous.
Like, who's the Groucho in the
Mark
back?
Nose and glasses.
Yeah. And so it's a test screening, so they keep people after and ask them questions, you know? And the screening goes great. People are laughing and they're, you know, reacting in all the right spots. And then there's the focus group after, and the focus group couldn't have gone better. People are saying, I really loved it, and Jason Segel is great, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm in the back, like, best day of my life. And then the moderator says, all right, well, any last comments before we leave? And one guy in the third row, like a 25-year-old guy, raises his hand and goes, yeah, just before we go, can we take a minute and talk about this guy's weird penis?
I thought it needed to be addressed.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Were you filming this movie, I Love You, Man, at the same time you were doing How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, for about 2 weeks there was an overlap. I was doing days on the TV show and nights on the movie.
Yeah,
and
can't have been good.
That's gotta suck.
I was literally exhausted. There were two scenarios. One where Paul had to save my life. Tell him.
Well, I don't know if
was he drowning?
We were filming this scene and it was outside and it was about 100 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason was dressed in several layers.
Yeah.
Like a sweater and a tweed coat. Mm. And you had been working all night. And in the middle of a take, I saw your eyes start to roll back.
Oh.
I grabbed you and sat you down.
Yeah.
And put a fan on you.
There was another. I was really sleepy a lot of the time, so I'd sleep.
You didn't just let him go down, though?
No, it was a mistake. Whoa. I realized we were filming, too. It would have been great for the DVD.
Yes, yeah. What's wrong with you?
That's
you
been
the
my
wrong
big
thing.
Fear forever, is to pass out on camera.
Do you I pass out a lot?
No, but when I'm that tired, it's just like every once in a while I feel like I need to take a knee, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They could have drawn me with Sharpies and stuff. Yeah, seeing those Facebook photos. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. There was another time where I was fast asleep at lunch, and I felt Paul's sort of gentle touch on my shoulder. Going, mm-hmm. Hey, Jace. Hey, buddy, wake up. They need us on set, buddy. Come on, little man, wake up. And I slowly open my eyes, and Paul is standing there with a button-up shirt on and nothing else. Just naked from the waist down.
Was he Excited?
No, no, no.
Not at all.
No,
all
he right. just winked at me and walked out of the room.
That's kind
you
of
didn't
it
know, but you didn't know what I was doing while you were sleeping.
That's yeah. true. Oh. He was done.
It was post-coital.
Let me tell you, one of the great things about Paul Rudd is it looks exactly how you expect it would.
Is that
really?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never really thought.
You look at it and say, yeah, that's a Rudd right
what
there.
I expect.
Yeah, it's not threatening.
No. No, it's just
friendly.
Like,
yeah.
It's inviting.
It's an everyman.
He is the everyman. Paul, let me ask you about your career.
Okay.
Because I've been a fan since Clueless and Cider House Rules and stuff. And it seemed to me at the time when I was appreciating your early work, I said, this is a guy they're sort of grooming into young leading man Ben Affleckdom. And it seemed to me that was the kind of the career path you were taking. And then you've become like this comedy star. It's gone a completely different route. Was that something of your own design or did it just kind of happen?
Well, I always liked comedies. And when I read Anchorman, I really, really tried to get an audition for it. Yeah. I really loved it.
That's the one you went after?
Yeah, that was one I really went after. And I was years before.
Because up to that point, you really weren't known as a big comedy guy, right?
Not really.
Romantic comedy kind of stuff.
Although I had done this movie years before called Wet Hot American Summer.
Right.
And Adam McKay, who wrote and directed Anchorman, liked that movie. A lot of comedy writers liked that movie. And so I think that probably helped in getting the role in Anchorman. And then on Anchorman, I met Judd Apatow and, and Judd, you know, thankfully, I mean, I'm so indebted to the guy, put me in 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up. And
you feel deeply in love?
And I fell deeply in love.
That's great. Yeah. That's a nice story.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've all really been looking forward to seeing I Love You, Man. For you guys especially, and it just looks very funny, and it opens up on Friday.
Here we go. Now, I read one review. I just want to, one last question. I read one review where, can we give away the ending, or do people know
don't.
That?
No.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't
don't
know what.
Don't give it away.
I
don't
know. Jason sees dead people.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to give it all away like that, but okay. No, yeah. No,
Jason has spina bifida, and a little creature comes down, yeah. and through that's the magic of McDonald's, they all heal.
And Skittles, yeah.
That's right.
That's Mac and Me. That's not, that's not their movie. Their movie is I Love You, Man, Jason Segel.
I Love You, Mac.
Paul Rudd.
The remake.
Thanks for coming in, guys. Have a good time tonight at the screening.
Thanks.
I think we can hook you up with some tickets out there if you'd like.
Yeah, we haven't given them all away.
Everybody that's on hold can get tickets as well if they'd like to. Most of the questions aren't that good, so we're just going to move on. But we'll give them the tickets anyway. They can see you guys tonight.
That's sweet.
That's nice.
Thanks for coming in. We totally appreciate it. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on the show.
God damn
it. I hear you. I'm with you on that.
The more I drink, the less tolerant I get of you people.
Seriously. I hear you. I'm with you on that.
Infuriating.
It is the...
Lisa's sticking her tongue out, making all kinds of gestures. Psycho Mike's being a mental midget.
Yeah, well, but that's what he does.
Oh,
you know?
I need a little breaker.
Yeah. Straight from the Jameson's bottle?
Don't even. Right.
Straight
oh
shot.
Oh, my God.
Now that the guests are gone, I think I can start drinking right out of the bottle.
All right.
I hate to do that when we have company because someone might pour something out of this bottle and then get my spittle on it.
Yeah, no one wants that.
I don't want that to happen.
All right. Man. One more Showbiz Beat this morning, and then this afternoon at 5, I guarantee...
Oh, I forgot! We have the afternoon show.
Not be in good shape.
I can't go anywhere. I'm going to have to stay here and drink. Because if I go someplace, I won't be back.
There's plenty in our
afternoon.
Office now.
That'll
plenty.
Be all right, let's talk about Showbiz News, shall we? How much time do we have? 2 minutes. All right, let me hit you with the highlights. Jenna Jameson and Tito Ortiz are parents. I'm just saying.
Twins.
I wouldn't expect those people to be parents, ever. During their heydays.
Yeah.
Tito Ortiz beating the snot out of people left and right. And you had Jenna Jameson.
What she did.
Getting other fluids out of other people.
Right.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
they have twins. God bless them. Good for them. They seem like a happy couple. They do.
They absolutely
seem like they make it work. So that's good for them. Barack Obama is going to be on the TV. He's going to be on Tonight Show with Jay Leno on NBC.
That's strange. As a sitting president.
It is the first time, Kevin, that a president in office has ever appeared on a talk show.
Huh.
You can say what you want about the guy. A lot of people, I think, are maybe disappointed because they thought magic was going to happen the moment he took over the White House. But he does seem to be a president, at least at this stage in his presidency, that's staying in touch with people,
yeah.
at least. He's in California to do some town hall meetings, which he certainly doesn't have to do as a sitting president. And then to go on television to talk about the economy, I guess to try to reassure the American public that we will at some point recover. Seems to be a smart PR move, at least.
I would rather he wasn't spending 15 years of our future taxes, but all right.
Well, you know what I mean?
Well, you need to come up with a better plan.
Well, that's what I'm known for, is my economic stimulus plan.
I don't think any good answer. I think if we can all maybe steer out of the nosedive that we're in, everyone will be a lot happier.
And Hayden Panettiere is backtracking after making some inflammatory statements about the media last week.
She had
a mini meltdown. Remember I told you in the red carpet when she was in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Yep. Screaming at the photographers. They were making her life miserable. Well, now Hayden tells OK Magazine that she has tremendous respect for reporters.
What?
She does. Who interview with integrity.
Ah.
But her outburst was caused by one bad seed who grabbed her from behind while she was being photographed on the red carpet.
Girls don't tend to like that.
Don't paw them.
Don't grab.
That's what they're saying.
Not paw.
Don't paw. So, I guess she's trying to make nice with the... It's got to be tough to be a celebrity because you do need a healthy relationship with the press in order to keep your career fruitful. But at the same time, you want to keep some sort of personal distance and some private life. So I can see where she's between a rock and a hard place.
And I'd like the hard place to be my pants.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know you'd like that.
Is anyone getting... Hello?
Get it.
Is this thing on?
No, it's on.
I'm just
talking
saying.
About boners.
And American Idol's got an insider that is willing to spill the beans about how the show works.
Yes. Really?
This is pretty fascinating. One of the staffers on the show is running around telling anyone who will listen, according to gatecrasher.com, that they already know who the final four contestants are because the producers have picked them. For the show. Keep in mind, there's 11 people left in the competition.
But wait a minute, Ralph. Don't people call and vote?
Yes. That's what they would like us to believe. The insider tells the reporter, these are the people. This isn't speculation. The last four are going to be Danny Gokey, Lil Rounds, Adam Lambert, and Alexis Grace.
Okay. Are those people good?
Yes.
They are all good.
Those are easy guesses to
make. And here's the thing. If you were going to guess the final four, that's who you would say would be there, even if you weren't an insider.
So maybe they don't know. Maybe they're just guessing.
So we'll have to wait and see, of course.
They could always change it now that that's been published.
That's true.
Publicized.
We'll have to wait and see the final four to see whether this is the case or not. But if you're an American Idol fan,
you don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear that.
You're dialing 1-800 whatever that porn line was.
866 Idols 13.
Ooh, for $3.99. Talk to me.
Talk about today's celebrity birthdays. I don't have enough time. I want to talk about the new CDs and DVDs. I'll do that in the afternoon. Come back at 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to do anything.
Like, I'll be conscious.
Please.
Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, and then we'll get out of here. Kurt Russell's 58 years old today. Gary Sinise, who is on CSI New York, he is 54 years old today. Looks good for 54, by the way.
Yeah. Sure.
Rob Lowe is 45. Billy Corgan, Smashing Pumpkins fame, is 42. Melissa Auftemar. Smashing Pumpkins and Hole as well is 37. And Brittany Daniel turns 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
Too many beers. More beers for Kevin, please.
Listen, it's been a long day. That's
all. We've stayed here all day, and we've partied here at the station because no one wanted to drive anywhere because we're responsible drinkers.
Exactly.
All right, so I got sent this article, and I would like Psycho Mike to tell us more details. Do you ever wish you could take a page from Saved by the Bell and rock the dance floor with the sprain?
Yes, yes, and yes.
What's the sprain, by the way?
The sprain was a dance they did at Bayside High at one of the dances.
A.C. Slater?
A.C. Slater broke his ankle, hurt his ankle at wrestling and a sports injury.
Uh-huh.
And he was upset because he couldn't go to the dance. He wouldn't be able to dance. But he showed up anyway in crutches and stuff. And his dance was like hopping around on one leg. And they called it the sprain. All the kids did it. You know what I'm saying? So it totally flipped. He flipped the script on him.
Well, dudes, you can on May 15th when promoters Brad Haas and Louis Guijardo. I'm sorry I didn't say that right.
I think it's Hose, by the way.
Take over the Avalon for the third annual Hollywood prom.
Yeah!
This is the third one?
Yep. The boys are decking out the club high school style, complete with a detention hall, cafeteria, locker room, gym, and a teacher's lounge for the VIPs. Now, this is where it gets interesting. While... I lost my place because I'm a little drunk.
This does get interesting here.
While some may go just for the chance to party with the prom court...
Yeah.
Which includes Psycho Mike from the Kevin and Bean Morning Show on K-Rock. I'm reserving my excitement for the party's host, Mr. Belding.
Belding. Belding.
Who, Belding. Of course, was the principal of Bayside High on Saved by the Bell.
Mike,
Dennis Haskins.
What does this mean?
Buddy of mine.
What does this mean?
He's not a buddy of yours. You don't know him.
What does this mean?
Why are you involved in this lame-ass project?
You're the prom king in Hollywood?
No, dude. I'm running to be prom king.
He's part of the court. You know, when everyone is competing for prom king and queen, they call them the prom court. They all show up.
And what is it? Votes. Oh, I see. So they're going to have a live vote that night?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know much of the details. What I know is
you just
that
signed on to,
they
oh, yeah.
came up to me and they said, listen, you, sir, you have royalty written all over you.
They didn't say that, though.
And I said, I know. What can I do to help, you know, kind of live that dream of having Mr. Belding put a crown on my head? And they said, how about be prom king of Hollywood?
I think there's a lot of bars in West Hollywood if you go to Mr. Belding will put a crown on your head, from what I understand. So you don't even need to go to this thing. If you go to the right restroom, Mr. Belding will be there and crown your head.
So you're...
With his I'm saying.
I think we get it.
Are you getting this at all? Is anyone listening to me?
No, we understand what you're saying.
Can I get some more Jameson, please?
No, not right now. So, Mike, you're going to be the prom king. You're running for prom king of Hollywood.
Yeah, but I'll probably win.
That's happening, though.
Yeah.
This is real.
You are correct.
You are running for Hollywood prom king.
Last year, a friend of mine was involved in the promotion of it, and I saw the douchebags that were the prom king.
And you thought, I'm a douchebag.
I said to myself,
I
said to myself, no.
I'm douchier than
that. You don't bring it. You don't bring the thunder like I bring the thunder when I'm prom king of Hollywood next year. And I made that vow, and now I'm going to be prom king, mother.
Now, Mike, you're not a social guy.
No.
Right. You don't like people. You don't like to go out. You're a mini bean. You don't really like the social aspect.
And you're in recovery, so you don't drink or do drugs in any way when you go to a party.
And I'm married, so it really defeats all the passion any of the women might have.
Like you're going to score a bunch of strange tail by doing this thing.
Or the scary hot chicks that are all the prom queens. I agree.
So your purpose there's
a lot of problems with this.
Well, yeah, not the least of which is you're running for the prom king of Hollywood. Who did they have to turn down before they went to you for the prom king? That's what I'm saying.
Brad and Angelina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe
Brad Moskowitz and Angelina Schwartzman.
Kofi Annan.
Sure.
Let's see.
At least when I was the grand marshal of the Hawthorne.
That was pathetic, too.
City Christmas parade. It was done with a certain amount of irony, knowing that I was signing on to sort of a, God bless me, I love Hawthorne, don't get me wrong. But it was sort of a lower-end Christmas event. It was sort of done with a tongue-in-cheek sort
Correct.
Of joy about it. You seem genuinely pleased to be involved in the Hollywood prom court.
You're right. And as a boy, when I'd watch Saved by the Bell, I'd sit there and I'd say to myself, if I could only be the king of Bayside High School.
Well, you're not going to be, because that was a fictional show and this isn't that.
But can a man live his dreams? You know they have those fantasy camps where you go up and you play bass with Journey, or you can spend a week and you can actually like shag fly balls for the Dodgers.
Uh huh.
It's in a mild way you're living out your fantasy. Why can't I be AC Slater if not just for a night? If not just for a night.
Okay, so AC Slater is going to be there.
Well, no, I would.
How about any of the rest of the
cast? How about Mark Paul Gossler, my friend from NYPD Blue? He's going to stop by, right?
He didn't.
Well, then you're not living your dream with anything.
That's a weak-ass Bayside High if those guys aren't there.
There's not one single person there except the principal.
Mr. Belding. Mr. Belding will be there.
That's it?
Oh, I guarantee you Dustin Diamond freaking Screech will be there.
And I hear that T.K. Carter, the original history teacher on the very first season of Saved by the Bell, might stop by.
This just keeps getting better.
I'm going to find Donna Mills or whoever that brought with this. Is Peach? Are they going to roll her in on freaking handcart?
And Artie, A.C. Slater's chameleon that died in episode 13.
Artie, the one-man party?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this sounds good. This sounds good.
All I'm saying
is... Will Elizabeth Berkley be there to suck everyone's...
We can't really
say that.
We can't really say... That's the scouting report on her.
But if that's true, let me know.
Because you like to do that?
I'd like to be there. Today, of course, is St. Patrick's Day. And we thought, knowing you, the K-Rock audience, as well as we do, perhaps we should have a spokesperson on for a safe and sane St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, very good idea.
So we've had our producer, Alex, line us up somebody. Good morning, sir.
Yes, I'm all right.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon.
We're looking for the spokesperson for a safe and sane St. Patrick's Day.
I am the spokesperson for safe and sane. Happy Halloween.
Is this David Hasselhoff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Coachella Fantastical.
Are you okay?
You guys know if I can get tickets for Coachella?
they're on sale right now.
Can I?
They're on sale right now.
Can I just come down to the station and get tickets for Coachella?
Nope, but you can get them from tickets.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palms Desert?
About a block. Go ahead and walk it. Are you okay, David? Because you sound like...
I'm okay. Happy anniversary.
To?
Mr. and Mrs. Patrick.
This is St. Patrick's Day.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
It's not a birthday celebration.
Happy... Crowd.
What?
Happy Patrick.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick.
Right.
Coach, you're fantastic. Everyone needs to be safe and sane.
Right.
On this day of holiday day.
I was hoping for a spokesperson for the safe and sane.
I am the spokesperson.
It doesn't sound.
How is that
possible? I am trying to get people to not drink as much as they would.
Okay, so drink less is what you're saying?
I would say drink about half as much as you would. Sweet! Drink half as much.
Yeah, we got it.
Half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would drink take one drink. Take one drink, half. Boom! Bow!
That's not that good, Hass.
Oh.
That's not that good, really.
But seriously, if you're going to drink, don't drive.
Right.
And if you're going to drive... drink a lot you get in the car. When you get in the car, man, you can't hold a drink and drive well.
Well, you shouldn't drive at all.
Coach, it's fantastical.
You shouldn't drive at all if you've been drinking. I think is what you mean to
say. Kit, hold my beer, Kit. All right, Michael. That's what the car we used to say. I had a job.
I don't remember that episode.
Really? You don't remember that?
No.
Mm-mm.
I used to play Michael Knight.
Right, I know. I remember the show. Knight
and
Rider.
I used to drive a car, and he used to speak to me.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't remember him holding your beer.
He did.
Okay. All right.
And my.
Okay.
Oh.
Car used to me off. Right. They never showed that episode. It was awesome.
I think it's probably best
it
they did.
Awesome.
Okay.
You cannot talk like that.
If you had a car that you off, wouldn't you be like, yeah?
Yeah, but I would. But we can't really use that language on the radio, unfortunately. You know we're on the radio, right, David?
Are you there?
David, are you all right?
How am I getting those tickets to Coachella?
Right, I know, but Coachella's...
Can I get to come down there?
Yeah, no, we don't have them
here. Hoff loves to rock.
Right, it's mid-April. You still have time.
I'd like to introduce Flock of Seagulls.
Not playing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Flock of Seagulls.
All right, not playing.
On K-Rock.
Nope, we're not playing them right now.
I'm the Hoff.
Yeah.
Everyone Wang Chung tonight.
Are you okay?
Do
you need some help?
I've had a lot to drink.
I know. It sounds like you've been drinking all day.
Yes. And I'm all right.
Well, you're not going to keep drinking tonight, though.
I'm not going to drink tonight.
Okay, good.
I'm just going to drink.
But
that's all I'm going to do, and then everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Okay, but it sounds like maybe you've had enough for today.
Oh, I've had more than enough.
Right, I know. That's okay. David, you can't use that language.
What language?
Kevin.
Okay. I'm saying that's not acceptable.
How far is Coachella from the hotel?
It's like a 2-minute walk.
Oh.
Yeah, just go ahead.
I'm not going to be able to walk that far.
All right, listen. We can't use that language on the radio.
So. I am drunk.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
No,
you're not.
Okay.
I'm sad.
Okay.
I'm pathetic.
What are you sad about? Drinking too much?
No!
Okay, listen.
God.
You can't.
Jesus Christ.
You can't say that.
My car used to me off.
Right, I know.
Do you?
But you can't say that either.
Oh.
Wait.
Hey, what happened?
I'm getting better.
Wow.
I feel better.
Well, that's a miracle cure.
I've another drink.
What?
No, no! Don't have any more.
No more drinks.
You're fine.
My car used to f*** me.
Right. All right.
What will it take to get you out of this segment?
I don't know. Let's see. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin Devine Cinco de la Tarde. Ralph wears panties. It's time for the showbiz beat.
Hey. Let me ask you something.
For people who didn't hear this morning.
I know. I've been taking heat all day because one time I wore women's panties out of necessity.
To boxing.
Right, because I had needed support for my gonads in order to get through the workout.
So you got panties.
I got the only thing I could get, which was women's panties at the CVC at 4 o'clock in the morning, CVS rather, in the 4 o'clock in the morning. And the only thing I could purchase was women's panties. And I found them remarkably comfortable, supportive, and absorbent.
Okay.
And they're now in your bag.
In case I ever need that again, like emergency underwear, I'm set to go.
There you go.
Why don't you put a pair of men's underwear in there so you're set to go?
I will wear men's underwear, but in case I ever forget again, because ordinarily, as we explained before, I travel commando. Right. If I'm ever at the gym, I say, oh, crap, I forgot to wear underwear.
Then you've got
I will have something in my gym bag now that I know I'll be secure with.
Are they going to be dainty and pink?
Listen.
And have little flowers on them?
I'm just saying, what's gayer, that or Psycho Mike trying to be the prom king of the Hollywood Bayside High, Saved by the Bell wannabe? Mr. Belling's going to drop by in his drunken has-been state, come by our event.
That's a very difficult question to answer because both are super gay.
This morning when Dave the King of Mexico put on a tie for Paul Rudd because he thinks he's a great, funny guy.
I smell a winner.
We all
on the gay game.
Who's dressing up for the guy you like?
I didn't realize that was happening. That happened this morning?
I didn't either, but I came in this morning. We had Paul Rudd and Jason Segel on for My Love You Man, and Dave was wearing like a cardigan and a button-up shirt and a tie, and I was like, "Well, Dave, you have your class picture today? Is it time for the fifth grade class picture?" And he's like, "No, I just thought I'd put this on." And then later on in the day, I found out he put it on for Paul Rudd.
Well,
he did.
What sense does that make?
That's what I'm saying.
King of Mexico wins.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. You're wearing panties, not nearly as bad.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. How gay do you have to be? Well, right. If you don't wear panties, you still get beat out.
King of Mexico.
King of Mexico.
Time for the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about show business, shall we? Kelly Clarkson.
Yes?
Fat.
Oh, come on.
I'm not saying that.
Fat. Why? Is she not
fat?
You know
what? Leave her alone.
Is she fat?
She's a singer. She's not a model.
She's fat.
And she's never made her name on her body.
That's true.
And we did agree that that's when you go after people.
Yes, more vehemently. But
but if you become marginally, if your initial hit of fame is at a certain size and appearance.
Yeah, and then it's shockingly
different. You sort
of
shoot for that, maintaining that sort of size and appearance throughout your career,
you guys,
don't you?
She's got some issues. She sure does.
She's got food issues.
Yes, she does.
She's got ho-ho issues, apparently.
She's 10 times the size of the American Idol contestant. She ate 9
you
of them.
You could fit all 11 remaining American Idol contestants in her pants.
She's not that fat.
She wears right now. That's exactly what she could do.
Yeah, pretty fat.
Anyway, Kelly Clarkson, now she's given us way too much information above and beyond the size of her ass.
Uh-oh.
She tells Blender Magazine that she thinks everyone pees in the shower. And anyone who doesn't admit it is lying.
No?
How did that come up, Ralph? What was the line of question?
I don't know.
Produced that.
Blender must have said, do you pee in the shower?
I'll write that down. Next time we have a guest.
Yes, I do. And anyone who doesn't say they do is lying.
Do you? You guys?
No.
You?
Yeah.
I don't.
Sure. You've never peed in the shower.
I have,
I'm not
going
to say I never have,
right,
but
here.
I try not to.
Oh, on a regular basis. I'm just unleashing in the shower. It's the best pee ever. It's the best pee of the day.
Why? What makes it better?
Because it's heat. The hot water's rolling over you, and it's just the perfect natural environment.
What I want to know is why you don't. Like, why you think it's the same drain.
It's true. It all goes down the same drain.
I don't really want it. Even though there's water, I don't want it. Yeah, I don't want it splashing on my feet. I don't want to stand on it.
What's wrong with your urine? You have acid urine?
I just don't.
By the way, you do want it splashing on your feet. It's an excellent cure for athlete's foot, and it kills all funguses because it's sterile.
I don't have athlete's foot.
No, you enjoy that.
But you won't if you pee on your feet.
All right, you enjoy that. You enjoy peeing. No one's asking you to stop. It's just we don't have to.
What are you afraid of? I don't do it because it seems a little animal. Right?
It's animal.
It's just a little tacky.
It's not sexy. It's animal.
It's just a little tacky.
I'm just saying, what is coming out of your vagina that's so scary, Lisa? That's what I want to know.
It's a little trailer park.
It is natural. It's a natural part of just being immersed in warm water.
Well, you enjoy that.
It's the best.
It's a little trailer park is the best explanation, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the truth.
Well, I didn't know.
Well,
I didn't know I was doing radio with Prince Charles and Lady Fergie.
I'm from Englewood.
Whoever the you are. With Lady all your highfalutin attitudes about your urethras.
Have you been drinking too much, Ralph?
You.
That's
how
I
about
thought.
That for an answer?
All right.
Does that answer your question?
That's a big yes.
I've been drinking. Go
yourself. That's what I've been drinking.
I didn't ask what you've been drinking.
Yeah, I pee in the shower. What about it?
All right, no one's trying to
with you. Are you a badass now? Are you a tough guy? You're better than me?
Yes. You started this story by saying Kelly Clarkson was sharing too much. Now,
yeah.
Right, now we know all sharing about
it. You're berating right.
Yeah, okay. Come on, bring it. I'll take you both on. I'm not afraid of you.
Too much information from you and her.
Kelly says the one thing she won't talk about, though, is her sex life.
Okay.
Even though people keep asking her if she's gay, which is probably why they ask her if she's gay.
She flat out refuses to answer on the grounds that her mama didn't raise no hoe.
That's what she said.
Quotes, mama didn't raise no hoe.
People are asking her if she's gay? I don't even understand.
Because they don't see her dating.
A long time rumor that she's a lesbian.
Okay, all right.
And she won't talk about that or of any of her her time with men because, as I mentioned, mama didn't raise no hoe.
Yeah.
You know who mama did raise to be a hoe?
Who?
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. This is the weirdest story I've ever heard.
It really is.
I find it hard to believe.
In Touch magazine reports that when little Rosario was a bad girl, her mother would discipline her by licking her. Yeah. That's how I like to be disciplined.
Oh, that's her mom, though.
Yeah.
That's her mom, though. Why would she lick her?
Her mother would lick her face or her armpit if she misbehaved.
Lick her armpit?
And it was so humiliating. Rosario said it worked. It would straighten her right out.
Okay.
Yeah. That's troubling.
I guess.
It's a inventive way to discipline your children.
Who would think, hey, I should lick the armpit? That would be great. That'll teach her a lesson.
Oh,
that
kid will never be the same again when I lick her armpit.
I mean, who comes up with that?
Oh, and she'll be an A student once I lick her.
Oh,
come on. Wow.
I'm just saying, if you're going to start licking, why stop at the armpit? Why not really make an impression?
Wow.
Why not seriously make an impression?
Because I don't think it's a sexual thing, Ralph.
I love whiskey.
It's to try and keep her in shape.
Mm.
So you need to stop drinking now, maybe.
Irish whiskey is good. And lastly, the Sci-Fi Channel. Are you familiar with Sci-Fi Channel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those of us who are fans of Battlestar Galactica?
Mm-hmm. That's a great show.
Certainly know.
That's a great show.
It Battlestar is a great show. A great show.
When did you get on the bandwagon of Battlestar Galactica?
I'm behind on the seasons, but I've been on board for a long time. That's a great show.
But we're nerds. Did you say that?
Wait, hold on.
Did you say that?
We used to talk about Battlestar Galactica, and you were like, oh, blah, 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 yep. Look at me. Oh, I'm Star Wars, blah, 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 blah.
And now all of a sudden,
you're on Battlestar
Galactica. No idea.
Now you're on board with Battlestar Galactica.
You know who I am?
Look, you're one here. Of you're either Kevin or Bean.
I'm Kevin.
You're one of those two guys.
We're very different.
No, whatever. To you, maybe you're different.
Okay. Somebody serve Ralph another drink.
Oh, that's right. No, you were on early with that.
Yes,
I remember us talking about Caprica and everything, and you were okay.
Yes.
You were on board with that. Anyway,
number six and all that. Come on.
We're
now.
Down to the last. You know, this weekend is the last episode.
Dave brought in some more whiskey.
Yeah, just pour a little in that cup there for me. Good man.
We need that.
Good
actually.
Nice gay tie for Paul Rudd, by the way. The finale.
Yes. The finale? Yes.
That's how you people say it.
The finale?
No, you don't need any more.
No, stop giving him
more. Mike's going to pour more.
All right.
Finale is this Friday.
Two-hour
finale. Yes. Wow. The whole series. It's all over.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sci-Fi Channel, on which you can find Battlestar Galactica, which
right.
I love, is renaming itself in July. It will no longer be Sci-Fi Channel. It will now be called just Sci-Fi.
Sci-fi.
But wait for it. It will be spelt S-Y-F-Y.
What?
Yes.
Oh, Dave.
It's not a joke, Dave.
That's
the truth. If you want to find the channel, it will now be called Sci-Fi, S-Y-F-Y.
Why?
And that's going to fool anyone?
Because they want to be unique and have their own thing.
They want to be like rappers?
And now they'll be Sci-Fi, S-Y-F-Y.
Is that a done deal?
It's a commitment, and you will see it. Come this July.
We need to talk to them.
That's dumb.
Sci-fi.
That's like the stupid parents that think their kids are going to be interesting because they misspell their names.
Yes.
Dumb.
A lot of people think that once Battlestar Galactica goes away, the whole channel may disappear.
Not S-Y-F-Y.
Not sci-fi S-Y-F-Y.
That's going to be around forever because it's interesting.
Yo. Like ludicrous. Whatever those...
Come on, Ralph.
God. What? They're rappers,
right?
I said what.